gentlemen, it is Monday, August 4th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room, the fastest 3 hours on the internet. Start now. Now, I've got a ton of political news here and different political developments, legal developments, actually. You might call them legal political developments. And no, we're not talking about judges blocking the Trump agenda right now. We're talking about multiple lawsuits that are flying dealing with the deep state. One of which, at least, I do have a direct involvement in. And so we'll be talking about that. It's ironic watching what Elon Musk is doing now with his lawsuits, but then it's also the groups BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street who are now open to lawsuits for, quote, initiatives to manipulate energy markets. And so when you look into this, you realize that the same stuff we've been talking about with our government and the left, basically doing the cause, effect, solution, profit agenda, announce the problem, say you have the solution, and then send the government money to your companies that claim to have the solution. Of course, it's all fake. Well, now, because of these lawsuits and the Texas judge says, nope, green light, it looks like that's exactly what these major institutions were doing. So we'll look at that. We'll look at Musk going after Media Matters and the corrupt left media. I guess Trump is doing it too successfully. And so we have some other stuff in regards to that. And then some interesting statements from Marjorie Taylor Greene, from Thomas Massie, and then from Speaker Mike Johnson and Randy Fine. Of course, they're on the other side of the planet right now in a foreign country that they seem to be the most loyal to. So that's a different story, which I guess leads us into that stack, a big geopolitical stack today. Now, there's a couple things that are inevitable here, and I told myself, because I know people are sick of it, and I get it, but it's still a top news story. In fact, right before I went live, it became the number one trend on X, United States of Israel. So I wasn't planning on leading with that today. I know people are sick of it, and then it's just every day it becomes the top story. So I'll probably do the political news first and then get into it later. But there's a couple things that are going to be undeniable very soon. And I'm already seeing this trend in kind of the generational gap, not to make a blanket statement here, but there's a generational gap in even the older generations that have just been taught and bought into, you got to support Israel, our greatest ally, it's the biblical thing to do. Even the generational groups that have bought into that and practiced that loyally still to this day, even they are eventually going to have their eyes forced wide open to say, okay, this is not about the Bible. This is not a religious thing. And, you know, I continue to see this pattern in D.C., which doesn't benefit America or doesn't aim to benefit America solely or as a priority. So the example today, which I think is what caused this trend on X, because it's so ridiculous, it caused me to fire off a bunch of posts. U.S. links disaster aid to loyalty to Israel. I mean, folks, it's so in your face now, it's ridiculous. It's so in your face now, you have to, the debate is over. Now the debate is, are they doing it intentionally to rub your nose in it as an arrogant thing? Or are they so boisterous about it as like a con act, a con man act, a confidence game, because they see how they're losing the grips of the world, losing the grips of the American youth, so they're just flexing like, oh, no, we're still in control. Those are your only two options right now.
Historians have pointed it out for thousands of years. Most people, when history is happening right in front of them, don't realize it until later. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has changed the world. You are the InfoWar. You're the eyes and ears. You're the reason we're on the air. You're the reason we're having so much success. And the bad guys hate InfoWars above all other independent populist media. So we want to keep us on the air and take part in history. We have a limited edition, murdered out InfoWars fundraiser shirt black on black at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you get all the other apparel for way lower prices. We've got a big deal going right now where you buy one, you get one free if you're a VIP. That's incredible for the supplements as well. But with this shirt, we've marked it up a bit for those of you that really want to support the InfoWar and get this limited edition shirt. So get your InfoWars limited edition murdered out shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a limited edition. Thanks for your support and thanks for being part of history.
So, I'm preparing to go live and start off with the news. And I get gaslit by my own crew sometimes. Well, they're not really gaslighting me, but, you know, sometimes intentionally they'll throw like a distraction mechanism, like a flashbang or something. It's like a game for them sometimes. Like sometimes they'll put some crazy image on the screen. But no, Rob back there, I got quite a laugh out of this in the short break. He says, you know, withholding disaster aid is like withholding food aid from Gaza. I'm like, oh gee. Oh boy. Here we go. Every single time, even on a Monday, guys, we can't even avoid it to start off the week. Look, I'm going to put the stack of geopolitical stuff to the side. I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait and we're going to get into this other news, but it is the top trend. It is out of control. And I'll just say I'm watching. And I just use this as an example, but I enjoy it. But like, I'll debate with my own family or my dad or other older generational conservatives I talk to, and they always want to get at me over the Israel thing. Tell me how I'm on the wrong side of history. And I like to kind of subtly remind them that, yeah, remember when I was supporting Trump and you were anti-Trump and all that stuff? Yeah. Right. So I'll be proven right on this one too. But now, see, cause it's all about perspective. And it's hard to see the world through someone else's eyes. I mean, really, it's not even possible. You can try, but to actually have lived someone else's experience, or in this case, why do I reach the conclusions I reach? Well, it's because the things that I see. So unless you've seen the things that I've seen, it's hard for you to reach the same conclusions. Well, now others are starting to see it. Now others are starting to see it. And so you start to see some of the voices that support Israel kind of backing off now saying, okay, yeah, they've gone too far. I've got examples of that. We're starting to see older generational conservatives that have been very outspoken in their support of Israel today coming out in response to this disaster aid story and saying, wait a second, why would American disaster aid rely on loyalty to Israel? Ah, you are asking the right question. Now, what's funny is this is not new. In fact, there are multiple states that have always tied disaster aid to loyalty to Israel, including Texas, as recently or as far back, however you want to put it, in 2017 with Hurricane Harvey. Very well known, national news. So you see, I've already seen that stuff. Now others are seeing it and they're starting to ask the same questions that I've been asking or that other Americans have been asking. And suddenly their issues start to relate to ours as well. And do you think having the backdrop? Oh, they're going to block recess appointments for Donald Trump. By the way, never been done in recent American history. Reagan had 240, W had 171. HW had 77, Obama had 32, Clinton had 139. I don't know where Biden didn't make this list for whatever reason. He might have been sleeping. Trump is at zero. So while Thune and Johnson are conspiring with the neocons and the Republicans against Trump to stop recess appointments, to stop him from getting other good appointments in, to stop the judges that are blocking his administration and the agenda, they do nothing on that. But they're going to block recess appointments. And then Johnson is going to go give a speech in Israel, multiple speeches, actually. And he's going to go kiss the wall and tell everybody how he's praying for Israel. What a great look. Fantastic. I mean, you're so proving us wrong that think Israel has any influence here. Oh, yeah, boy, you sure are. Man, oh man, you guys got us. You were right. Israel has no influence over our administration. Israel has no influence over our Congress. I mean, golly gee, they don't even have any influence over our foreign aid. Why are you still talking about it? All right, so you get the point. We'll move on from that for now, and we'll come back with it later. Okay. This is really what it all comes down to. So now let's just address maybe the bigger elephant in the room. Because at the end of the day, there's always going to be the debate on Israel. American Jews aren't going anywhere. Their money isn't going anywhere. And so that debate is always going to stay. Now, you can separate that to a degree of what goes on in Israel and our foreign policy, but the debate is always going to linger. And it's a very healthy debate right now. It's probably the most healthy and maybe the most important debate. So it will continue. Now, if we can fix the situation in the Middle East, I mean, you know, somebody find me a magic lamp that I can rub and maybe, just maybe, we can have a chance at fixing the Middle East. But until I can find that magic lamp, I don't know what to tell you. So really the big elephant in the room is right here. And Marjorie Taylor Greene posted this morning. Aaron Rodgers went on the Rogan podcast right before he went to spring football camp or summer football camp, whatever it is now, and said the same thing, but Marjorie Taylor Greene puts it out. Don't talk about it if you're not going to do it. Russian collusion hoax arrests, zero. January 6th stand down arrests, zero. January 6th committee deleting evidence arrests, zero. Mar-a-Lago raid arrests, zero. Biden auto pen arrests, zero. 2020 stolen election arrests, zero. Epstein pedophile arrests, zero. COVID scam and virus vaccine creation arrests, zero. Benghazi arrests, zero. Doge finding arrests, zero. Ukraine impeachment hoax, zero. We can go on and on. Afghanistan open border arrests. You get the point. This is the big elephant in the room right here. No arrests. And until you start to see arrests, nothing else matters. Now, I can have a debate over the economy. Trump will lose that debate. Now, I'm not saying Trump has lost that battle, because I think that's going to be a long-term thing, and you are building the foundations to having a better economy. But to claim that we've already got it is just an outright lie. And that's not even Trump's fault, to be clear here. I'm not claiming Trump collapsed the economy. He didn't. So that's not even fair to blame him. But this whole game where he just comes out and says how it's the greatest economy ever, it's just, you know, don't tell us that the Epstein list was a hoax. Don't tell us you never knew him. Don't tell us it was the greatest economy of all time now. Just be honest with us. Christopher Wray referred to the Department of Justice over claims he misled lawmakers on Catholic memo and China probes. So here we go again. Now, with every referral to the DOJ, there's less and less excitement, because Pam Bondi hasn't delivered on a single one. Not one. Not Letitia James open and shut. Not Adam Schiff open and shut. Not Christopher Wray open and shut. Alex Jones on seat, and go ahead.
Though they did just announce minutes ago this grand jury officially impaneled on Russiagate on all of it. I know we're not holding our breath.
I'm betting against it. I'm betting zero arrests, Alex. I'll come out and I'll say it right now. We will get zero deep state arrests.
Okay, but that's not a special counsel. That is a grand jury. And the new emails they just released just today are them saying Russiagate's fake to distract from Hillary.
So the emails that they had 5 years ago, they've had the emails. They're not getting us anything,
well,
I don't think.
Tulsi Gabbard, no, they just got these.
So who do you think is going to get arrested?
Hey, I'm just telling you.
I know, I got the news. I can read the news. I just don't think anyone's going
to
get arrested.
I talked to DOJ people. They said they intend to indict people. And that's
who do you think will get indicted?
Clapper, Brennan, people like Comey.
Okay.
I'm just saying, we all know you think it's ever going to happen. You might be right. The point is, this is major movement compared to what we've seen in the past.
But what's the difference, though? There's still no arrests. Alex, I'd love to talk to you about this if you want to come join.
No. You have to have a grand jury indict somebody. That's why they never did this before. This is new. I'm not saying, this is just, I told everybody, look for movement. I said their intention is to do it because they know they have to. And I'm not saying it's 100%. I'm just saying this is different. This is a grand jury.
So you think Brennan and Clapper.
Remember all the secret grand juries that didn't exist when Trump was first in? I said that was bullshit. I agree with you.
Yeah, like Hannity and the rest of them.
This is different.
All right. Well, we shall see. I have no faith in Pam Bondi. I have seen criminal referrals go to her desk for months and nothing happened. So that's all I've seen. And I know that there's frustration in D.C. over this. I know that there's frustration within the FBI over this. And it seems like at the end of the day, everybody's just going to blame Pam Bondi and wipe their hands of the situation. But the issue that they're going to have and that Trump and his administration is going to have with Daniel Radcliffe and others, a lot of these swamp creatures are tied in at the hip, folks. And if they threaten to bring down Brennan and Clapper and Comey or even other members of the Obama administration, they're going to threaten to take down the Trump administration with them. And maybe that's what all the Epstein drip, drip, drip is about. I always assumed it was a foreign intelligence operation. Maybe it is a deep state operation, maybe not politically motivated from a left-right perspective or a Republican-Democrat perspective, but maybe from a deep state perspective. Like, okay, you want to come after us? You're going to go down with the Epstein files. So maybe that's the blackmail operation. Maybe that's the tug of war that's going on here. But the number still remains the same. Zero arrests. Zero arrests. And that's the problem. So we can talk about all this other stuff, but until this changes and until there are deep state arrests, you're going to have a hard time convincing people that there's much difference between this administration and the last. Will we get a better economy? Hopefully. Do we have a secure border? Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Did they stop the child trafficking? Did they stop a lot of the drug trafficking, weapons trafficking at the southern border? Absolutely. No doubt that happened. So that is good. Did we end the war with Russia and Ukraine? No. Did we end the war with Israel and five different countries in the Middle East? No. Did we stop the funding in Ukraine? No. Did we not strike Israel's enemies in the Middle East? No, we did. So another criminal referral to Pam Bondi's desk where criminal referrals go to die. But with every one of these now, there used to be a lot of excitement. There used to be a lot of excitement from Trump's base. Oh, we're going to get one. Finally, the deep state. Finally, arrests are coming. And it's slowly becoming the boy that cried wolf. And now, oh, another referral to Pam Bondi's desk, and everybody just kind of shrugs their shoulders and says, so what? Let's see the first one ever get brought in. And these are, it's not even tough. It's not even tough. When you talk about the mortgage fraud with Letitia James or Adam Schiff, it's open and shut. It's right there. If anyone else, if you would have done that, if you would have lied to get an advantage on your mortgage, you would have falsified federal documents. If you would have falsified loan documents, you would have been charged. Absolutely. But somehow Letitia James and Adam Schiff and Christopher Wray and the rest, how many criminal referrals are there? I can't even keep up now. I'm like Pam Bondi. I can't even keep up with how many there are now. And still no arrests. Now, to be fair, Trump didn't promise arrests, but he did talk about the deep state. He did post videos of Obama and the rest of them getting arrested. He did call them treasonous. He did say they stole an election. So it's not really our fault for expecting arrests. We expect the swamp to be drained. We expect deep state arrests because that's justice. That's justice. It's not revenge. It's not redemption. It's justice. So if you're not going to give us justice, then what do we get? You get foreign aid tied to, you get disaster relief tied to a foreign country. Loyalty to a foreign country is what you get. So that's what everybody's saying. And that's why people are so frustrated as all of this is going on. And then you have Mike Johnson running around Israel. You have John Thune blocking recess appointments. The House can't even impeach any of these judges that are blocking the Trump agenda. Disaster aid tied to loyalty to a foreign country. And it's just like, man, what are we doing here? Well, we shut down the border. We're taking some of the poison out of the food supply, the water supply. That's good. We're warning people about the ingredients in the vaccines. That's good. I think they're trying to do a lot for the agriculture industry, but it's a bit of a challenge right now because so much money is tied up in foreign aid. We did shut down USAID. I think we're starting to see some of the good effects of that. But a lot of this stuff can be changed with a new administration. A lot of this stuff can be stopped if the Democrats win the House. We did have the USDA kick off the inaugural Great American Farmers Market today with concerts, vendors, and a celebration of agriculture and liberty that was happening in D.C. You go to your local farmers market, pretty good place, actually. Good place to meet free-minded people, free-thinking people, independent-minded people, usually American patriots. There's some liberals in there, but, you know, they're the good kind, small government kind. So they had a big farmers market in D.C. today that apparently was a smashing success. Did you hear about that one? Apparently it was pretty big, or at least they're telling you it was pretty big there in D.C. Yeah, farmers markets are really great to get good quality organic food. So I'm glad to see them promoting that idea, that concept. It's good for the farmers that use that too. Now, on the economy. Now, this is not Trump's fault. But when Trump comes out and tells you it's the greatest economy and we're coming back roaring and it's hot, well, that's just not true. And you're insulting Americans that are really going through it right now when you say that. And it's become this thing, I think, with everything now, with when it comes to Trump's PR. Everything has become like the defense-offense paradigm. So it's like he's constantly on defense-offense at the same time where somebody brings up the economy, he just has to say it's the greatest ever. Because he has to play defense and offense at the same time against the fake news media. So it's like the same with the Epstein list. It's like instead of just being honest, he's on defense, he's on offense. Epstein list. Oh, it's a hoax. Never existed. I never knew Epstein. It's like, that's not the truth. That's you playing defense and offense. Same thing with the economy. Oh, it's the greatest ever. That's not the truth. It's not your fault that it's not good. But, you know, let's not insult Americans here. Here are just a couple examples. Even households earning $150,000 a year are struggling with credit card and car payments. In fact, there's a record number of delinquencies, ladies and gentlemen, specifically in higher earning incomes. More high income Americans around the U.S. are falling behind on their credit cards and auto loans, a sign that even people earning more than six figures are more likely to struggle financially amid shifts in the economy. Delinquencies across all loan products for households earning more than $150,000 have more than doubled since 2023. That compares with a 60% increase in delinquencies during that time for households earning between $45,000 and $150,000 and a 22% increase for people earning less than $45,000, according to data from credit scoring company VantageScore. So, in other words, it used to be like it was like 50,000, maybe 20 years ago or so, it was like, okay, you're making more than 50,000 a year. You're probably going to be okay. You can handle all your bills. Then it was okay. You're making 100,000 a year. You're probably living okay, able to pay all your bills. Now it's 150 and up. This is the inflation. This is the consumer price index. A record number of delinquencies on car payments. A record number of delinquencies on credit cards. Most people today have car payments, but one owner now asks what few can even think about. What's the longest you've gone without one? People can't even afford cars. They can't even afford their car payments. Underwater car loans hit record in troubling trade-in trend. More than one in four consumers owe more on their car loans than the vehicle is worth. While car payments of over $1,000 have reached a record high. So, this is not the sign of a healthy economy. Record number of delinquencies on mortgage payments. Record number of delinquencies on credit card payments. Record number of delinquencies on car payments. Not good. Now, this is really the aftermath of COVID and the Biden economy is what this is. So Trump did allow them to shut down the economy, which, you know, he could argue, well, it's a state's issue. But that happened in the first Trump administration. And then after 4 years of Biden just crashing the economy, this is where we're at. You're making $150,000 a year and you're struggling to make basic payments, car payments, mortgage payments, credit card payments. It is now common for people to take out a loan on a grocery bill. Walmart and all these other companies where you can online order your groceries, or Amazon, these other online, e-commerce stores, you buy something $60, $100, you buy a concert ticket $200, you can get a payment plan. Now you say, well, why would these companies be doing this? Why would they be offering payment plans for grocery bills and everything else? Well, because now people can't even use their credit cards. So if somebody's maxed out on their credit card, but you still want them to purchase your thing, what are you going to do? Well, you're basically going to offer them some form of an in-store credit, some sort of an in-store loan outside of that credit debt. So they say, oh, okay, so I've got a $100 grocery bill here. I can do 4 monthly payments of $25, 5% interest on each. Oh, okay. Well, I'm maxed out on my credit card, but I can get these groceries on credit for today, and then I can extend the payments. I mean, this bubble is getting out of control. And the real quick fix to this is cutting taxes. That's the real quick fix. And I don't just mean a little bit. I mean like cutting them, like almost all of them. Like cutting every single federal tax. And putting pressure on states to start cutting property taxes. You have to let Americans keep their own money so that they can start to pay off their own debt. Oh, but what's the problem? America's in debt. America's in record debt. Trump tries to sort all that out with tariffs. Gets a lot of heat, gets a lot of pushback. Then the one thing that might actually allow him to be able to do these trade negotiations and have him successful would be achieving world peace. And then having good relations with Russia and the BRICS nations. But now that's falling apart. But now, oh, the big climate scam. The big man-made climate scam is about to be exposed, and the companies behind it are now open to lawsuits. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, We made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, look. InfoWars is not a monolith of thought. And I have debates with Alex all the time. You saw him in here last segment. And I guess... I mean, he has more faith that people are going to get arrested than I do. And he wants me to see this clip and respond to it on air. So, okay. I'll respond to the Fox News clip of them talking about the grand jury. Guys, go ahead.
We start today's show with some big breaking news. We're going to go straight to Fox News correspondent David Spunt for the details. David.
Well, Will, good to be with you. This is coming out of the Justice Department. Fox News can confirm that Attorney General Pam Bondi today signed an order directing an unnamed U.S. federal prosecutor to take evidence to a grand jury relating to an alleged conspiracy to tie then 2016 candidate Donald Trump to the country of Russia. Now, Fox News reviewed the one-page order just hours ago signed by the Attorney General. A source familiar with the probe confirms this as well, while a DOJ spokesperson declined to comment on this report of an investigation. Fox is told Attorney General Bondi is taking the referrals from Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, quote, very seriously. The spokesperson says that Bondi believes there is, quote, clear cause for deep concern, end quote, and a need for the next steps. Now, this move, Will, comes just a couple of weeks after the Director of National Intelligence, you see her right there, Tulsi Gabbard, sent a criminal referral to the Justice Department regarding what she says proves there was a conspiracy to undermine Trump's candidacy and later his first term in office. Now, to be clear today, there are no charges that have been filed, no indictments. This is incredibly early in the process. What we have here is taking evidence the Justice Department believes it has to a grand jury to secure an eventual indictment or indictments. We don't know exactly where the grand jury will meet. We don't know who will go before the grand jury. And that's by design, because grand juries determine if there's enough evidence to indict, and grand juries are secretive in the American legal system, so it's normal not to know all of the answers. Again, the DOJ declining on any comment regarding this investigation. But, Will, big news, this was signed by the Attorney General Pam Bondi today to take this evidence of an alleged conspiracy to a grand jury with the hope to get an indictment or multiple indictments. Well,
that is big news, David, and congratulations to you. Excellent reporting on being first on this order signed today by Attorney General Pam Bondi. I understand it is a one-page order, which you have been able to review. Fox News has been able to review. I'm afraid I'm going to ask you some questions that need to be asked, but we won't yet know the answer. So let's start with the one that everyone watching at home is interested in. Who or what names might be the target of this grand jury?
Well, that's a great point. We don't know. We know that Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, has mentioned the names John Brennan, the former CIA director, James Clapper, who had the job before her. But I want to be very clear on the air. We don't know if their names are...
Yeah. So let me explain what's going on so far. By the way, Will Cain is one of the best on Fox News. So basically, you know, I don't want to out too many people here. But you know what? I'll just go ahead. You hear Will Cain, he's like, well, you know, congratulations, you got the scoop here, but, you know, what's really going on? You know, Will Cain is a lot probably more closely aligned to me than, say, somebody like Sean Hannity. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Now, before I respond to that, let me explain what's happening here. The GOP just put this thing out, which is obviously at the behest of the White House, that says panicking. Noun, dangerous people who can't handle pressure. Now, who that definition doesn't even fit who they were originally claiming that a panican is. So I don't even know who what this even means anymore. Actually, it would seem that you are the ones that can't handle pressure. So I'll go ahead. I'll be the dangerous person that can't handle pressure. That doesn't even make any sense. That's what I'm saying. Like, none of it makes any sense. Trump's most loyal, ardent supporters who have been through the fire with him since 2015, and now we're the ones getting attacked. Like, we were the ones that dealt with the slings and arrows with President Trump. The new MAGA, they won't bust a grape in a food fight for you, President Trump. And you're going to toss overboard the people that are filled with battle scars defending you? Okay, I mean, it's your choice. I don't take anything in politics personally. But no, what is this? This isn't that we can't handle the pressure. This is that we're doling out the pressure. That's what this is. This is a pressure campaign on the administration. We want the Epstein lists and the pedophile clients arrested and the money laundering clients arrested. We want to know what Jeffrey Epstein was doing for intelligence agencies. That's applying pressure. That's not can't handle the pressure. That's applying the pressure. That's, hey, you said you were going to audit Fort Knox. Hey, you said we were going to have $1 trillion in Doge cuts. Hey, we have dozens of criminal referrals sitting on Pam Bondi's desk. That's not us not being able to handle pressure. That's us applying pressure. Now, Will Cain is so good, man. When you know, you know. Congratulations on getting the scoop. You realize Pam Bondi gives Fox News all of these scoops. You realize that? She basically works for Fox News. She gives them the scoops. You can beat every other news agency to a FOIA request that goes to the DOJ, and she'll make sure Fox News gets it first, and after they report it, then she'll release it to every other news outlet that requested it. Okay? Pam Bondi is using Fox News as cover. She's throwing the red meat out there. She's giving them all the exclusives. So, hey, I hope there are deep state arrests. That's a win for me. So it's like, there's no lose here for me. If I end up being wrong and they arrest people, fantastic. Finally, it's about damn time. It's what we've been banging our heads over for years. Oh, but you know, Gabbard has been doing this for almost a month. Yeah. Tulsi Gabbard has been at this for a month. And as soon as she gives the criminal referral for a grand jury over to Pam Bondi, what does she do? She gives it to Fox News. See, notice how none of this leaked out of Tulsi Gabbard's camp. And then as soon as she finishes her work and her due diligence and hands it over to the DOJ, where nothing gets done, what does the DOJ do? They just hand it over to Fox News and say, here's a news report, and then that's it. And I've seen this pattern play out for months since Pam Bondi got in. So no, it's not that I can't handle pressure. If anything, we're the ones that can handle the pressure. But we're the pressure appliers. So every day that goes by and there's zero arrests, every day that goes by and every single criminal referral that has been put on Pam Bondi's desk gets nothing other than a Fox News exclusive, then we will continue to apply the pressure. Now, who the panickins are, I don't know. Who is a dangerous person who can't handle pressure, I don't know. We literally went to prison for President Trump. We've literally been sued multiple times for President Trump. We've been censored for President Trump. We've been in the streets for President Trump. I mean, you name it. So I don't know who this is that can't handle pressure, but it ain't us. We apply the pressure. So you're damn right. I'm going to sit up here every day and apply pressure to this administration to deliver on the things we voted for. And if they don't, then that's their legacy. That's their administration. They can do with it what they want. But I'm not going to sit by idly and just say, oh, well. No, I'm going to say we tried. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say we tried. But Marjorie Taylor Greene is starting to get it. And that's why she's frustrated at zero arrests with many of Trump's loyalist supporters. All right, Alex Jones is back. Can we get a chair and a microphone in here as soon as possible, please?
All right, I'll just put it in there. So, this is how we do it.
Setting up his own chair. And actually, we got a full team today, so there's no excuse here. Skeleton crew last week. That's just how it goes. When you have a full crew, you can't even get the chair.
No, the crew's good. I didn't know I was coming in here. All right, listen, we'll cut this out and put it on. I'm about to go shoot my own report on this. I'm not disagreeing with you, Owen. Owen, I'm not disagreeing with you overall to be very, very skeptical. I'm very skeptical of Pam Bondi with her consultant firm, with the chief of staff, Susie Wiles, and all of that. But I've been talking to high-level prosecutors that I've known for a long time, and they say, you know, these task forces, these strike forces, Trump wants this. He's going to fire people if it doesn't happen. I've been saying that for months. And so this is not where you have Rand Paul, the senator, or you have Tulsi Gabbard, the director of Office of National Intelligence, do a referral. That did happen. And then Pam Bondi, who does basically work at Fox News, gives him that. This has been announced, the referral. And that means to a grand jury. It's not like a referral where they can't now look at it. This is the first time, not all 8 years ago, 6 years ago, the secret grand juries, hundreds of indictments, all the Q stuff. Remember, I was agreeing with you on that all then. This is different in that this isn't a referral like it's to her desk and then she does nothing with it. All these referrals have been coming in, and this is Gabbard's referral, has now been given to a grand jury. And it's not a special counsel that are almost always political and report to Congress and are used to be buried. They have these task forces and the strike force, and it could end up actually being the original task force with Martin. I don't know yet. I've made calls where they can go in any jurisdiction they want and get around D.C. So if you hear this grand jury's been impaneled in D.C., then you know the fix is in. We don't know that yet. But if you hear it's been impaneled in Palm Beach or something where they have a bunch of the cases, and now, as I told you months ago, they're now saying it's gone past 2020 into 2024, the Mar-a-Lago raid, Jack Smith official under criminal investigation. That means grand juries. This is happening, and this is probably not the only one we know about. It is a leak, because obviously they want that news out there, but that's only going to heighten people's desire for this. But they've done so much other crazy stuff, saying, you know, we're going to release the Epstein stuff, and it doesn't exist. I don't know yet. But I've said 99% no indictments first administration, because they're all a bunch of politicos and cowards. Trump was good, but he didn't have any good people. He's got some real people in there. He's got a strike force, and he's got a task force. And so this is the first time that one of these major referrals has gone and not just sat on her desk 6.5 months in. This is now to a grand jury. Now, they'll either go to an already impaneled one, or they'll wait till another one comes up because they don't want to run out of time. They only sit for certain amounts of time. As I said Friday, and you know, as I said Sunday, and as I said today, before this broke, I said I give them 6 months, the way our grand juries work. 6 months that if we don't see indictments of Clapper, Brennan, Comey, Hillary, then I'm going to really join you in, we're already applying pressure. That's what we do. And, you know, a lot of the fake Trump supporters, they're just talking against, they don't want that. They want us to shut up and just be in a cult. No, we brought Trump in. So pressure's great. But Trump is putting pressure on them. He knows they tried to kill him. They know they broke, you know, this old standing rule where they indicted a president and people. So the gloves are off now, and Trump will be put back in prison when he gets out. If he doesn't do this, they're coming after all of us. It must be done. Now, who knows when the grand jury is impaneled what threats they'll get? You know, the deep state spies the CIA on the Senate, on the head of the intelligence committee. That's totally illegal. They've been caught year after year, decade after decade. So you better believe they're going to be harassing this grand jury if it's for real. But this is new. This isn't referring a criminal complaint to the DOJ. This is referring the criminal complaint, which means the DOJ is saying, we believe this is indictments. So they don't go, and they almost always get their indictments. They don't go unless they're trying to get the indictment. So this is a new level. That's all I'm saying. It's a new climate. These aren't special counsels. These are strike forces and task forces. So this is new. You've seen how scared Brennan Clapper and others have been on TV. The emails that they just released was also in the piece. Is the staffer saying, we need to cover this up. This Russiagate thing will cover up her destroying her servers, you know, especially if this goes Olympic, which means indictments. And they successfully diverted Trump off, and the corporate media covered it. Now, the national corporate media, other than Fox, is not covering this. This is being reported nowhere else but Fox News right now. As you said, that's totally true about Bondi. And that's where Trump wants the stuff leaked anyway, so that's under his orders. And that's what he watches mainly. That's where he gets most of his information. So I don't have a lot of faith in Bondi. But her head is going to roll if this doesn't happen. And when they tried to bring up the Epstein stuff, which the evidence is clear, Trump covered it up at the CIA's request, not because he's involved, for the Mossad, then they double back and use the fact that he tried to cover it up at the request of the system to then try to mix him into it, causing controversy. That just upped their chances of him forcing through indictments. So I think we've gone from a 1% chance of indictments to a 50% chance of indictments, and if they don't happen within 6 months, because these things do take time, especially something this big, then we know the fix is in, and it's totally insane. And Trump's going to try to lean on the laurels of presidential immunity after he's out, which isn't going to stick. But they don't have David Schoen, who's a real lawyer and hardcore, saying we can retroactively impeach Biden and Obama, strip them of the presidential immunity, and indict them as well, because we've all known this about Crossfire Hurricane forever. We've all experienced all of this, but and so we knew big pieces of it from hearings, the rest of it, but these are the actual documents and more. And Kash Patel saying yesterday, oh, corporate media, go ahead and say you didn't collude with the Democrats on Russiagate. We're going to release more documents showing you did. Well, you should have already done that. But the thing is, this is the catch now out of the bag because, as you said 10 minutes ago or 5 minutes ago, Tulsi Gabbard is a good actor. A good person, I mean an actor in a movie, but a good person, acting with good intentions, and she's in there ferreting this out, forcing these agencies to give it. She has authority over them. She's getting it, and she's bringing the goods. Okay, so that's why I'm saying this is different this time.
You want to get more grief from the White House? You want to get more grief?
What do you mean?
Well, I believe Gabbard might be the last one in there. Bongino is kind of remaining quiet. He's trying to reassure people, hey, we're doing good things behind the scene. I tend to have more faith in Bongino than the rest of them. Patel is in New Zealand expanding the FBI there. I think Gabbard is maybe the last one there that is actually doing her job the right way. And I think that, you know, she had the neocons pushing her out of all the foreign policy stuff that started a couple months ago, right after they booted Musk. Then they started sidelining her. It got kind of personal. But I think in her eyes, she was like, I still consider myself a warrior for this country. I still look at this as duty to this country. So she just put her head down, didn't take anything personally, and said, you know what? President Trump wants me to focus on this one thing. I won't get involved in foreign policy anymore. I'm going to go over here, do my due diligence in the intelligence report, do my job, give it over to Pam Bondi. And so what I think is happening is that Tulsi is basically in there now, if you want to talk about a white hat, and she's basically saying, all right, I'm going to go through this process, and we're going to find out. That's what we're going to do.
No, exactly. And then when Bondi doesn't act or tries to sabotage it, Tulsi will be there to report it. I don't think that's speculation. That's what's happening. And RFK Jr., the Marisol out of the vaccines, going for the fluoride, Pam Bondi blocking it. I mean, let's just say it. I wanted to give him a chance. You didn't like Bondi day one. I wasn't saying she was good. Patel, bigger failure than I thought it would be. Bongino, I think, not really sophisticated enough to get what's happening. And I've talked to a lot of sources. But, yeah, no, I mean, Bondi is a politico. But here's the deal. Trump's going to get briefed on this by Gabbard. And so, of course, there's going to be major chicanery at the grand jury level. But it's been handed off to a grand jury.
The fact that Gabbard didn't get bullied out and leave, I think, is going to be a key factor in all this. The fact that she put her head down and stayed is going to be a very important longevity thing.
Absolutely. We'll get this clip out. Everybody wants to hear what we have to say. I know people are watching live, but we'll get this clip out, and maybe put a clip when I came in, and put the rest of the back. Maybe when I came in earlier, was talking to Owen. But this is all important, folks. We need this to happen. It's got to happen. And I was stepped out of the area that had a TV on earlier, so I wasn't quite getting why you were saying we're not a panicking, we're putting pressure on, which is true. What does somebody go? Oh, we're panicking.
The Trump administration released this today: panicking, dangerous people who can't handle pressure. Now, I assume that's directed at people like you and I who don't just drink the Kool-Aid anymore.
Yeah, that's the new thing, the neocons, the Israeli lobby, is we're panicking. If we go, hey, it's horrible to say Epstein's a hoax and it doesn't exist, that's a Streisand effect, it's going to blow up massive in your face, and it did. A panicking is saying, hey, Kennedy says take the fluoride out. The FDA agrees. We just want a class action suit in federal court. Pam Bondi's coming in with the inspector general to keep it in. Get the damn fluoride out. So trying to save our kids from bone cancer and IQ loss and infertility is not panicking. It's winning. So, yeah, all these Johnny-come-latelys and the influencers that just get their talking points from the bad guys of the Trump administration, we're busy trying to save the Trump administration from the bad actors, like we did 8.5 years ago when we were there, when the headlines were, the new chief of staff's main job is keeping Trump away from Alex Jones. Okay? So we at least want to see 30 SWAT team people arresting Clapper, Brennan, and Comey like they did Roger Stone. We want to see that. We want to see them frog-marched. We want to see it now. We want it more than cheap groceries. Okay? We probably want it even more than not having a nuclear war.
I mean hold on. We might want to avoid nuclear.
But you say that in jest, but it's like, this is the level of engagement we're at right now.
Well, listen. We're going to be having a nuclear war. We don't get this bad guys out of there. And the arrogance of these new emails they released, I was watching it, I'm going to go shoot a report right now and put it out with the whole Fox thing. They're reading them. It's like, well, we all know it's a fraud. We've got to put this fraud in to cover up that she's a criminal. And, of course, this is all her minions covering their ass. Brennan, Clapper, Comey, meeting with Obama. We told the president this is really bad. Blah, 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 because they were covering their ass. And they're like, hey, Obama told me to do it.
So it's like, I'll play the reverse Uno card, and it's just like, okay, you can call us whatever you want. We've been through hell here. They've literally tried to take everything from you ever.
Sure, well, they're just distracting us off it, but what's the video of Trump saying panicking? Who's he saying is panicking now? Well, what's the new video?
They just put this statement out today.
No, he made another panicking statement, or maybe it's old. Can we pull back up what you just said?
Maybe they're not smart because they're playing right into the enemy's camp.
Oh, my God.
Cases.
Wait, is this new? So hold on. If they recycled him.
This is new.
Did he say again, don't question Epstein or your stupid?
I don't know if it was Epstein. I don't think it was an Epstein thing. I think it was just a general panic and branding thing. I don't know. I haven't seen that clip. I just saw the statement.
Well, you,
He says, can you define panicking? Do we have the audio, guys, or?
Well, I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what this is. They know his constituents are putting pressure and the bad guys in
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
The bad guys in there want to create a new thing where, no, you're a panicking if it's a constituent. I mean, what if he came out and said, now we're going to pay for transgender surgeries again, which he hasn't done? We wouldn't be panicking. We'd be a pressuring.
All right, guys, go ahead.
In fact, we got to put memes out. We're not a panicking. We're a holding your feet to the fire again. We're not a panicking. We're putting the pressure on your ass again.
Yeah, who's? I like that. We're putting the pressure on
your ass again. We slapping your ass around.
Yeah, who's really panicking? It's like, let's play the reverse Uno card. It's like, does this administration want to be outsmarted by Brennan and Clapper and Comey? I mean, come on. Here, Trump defines a panicking. Let's hear it.
I see this phrase out there. I think you developed this word, panickins, right? Like, no panickins. Can you define panickins for us? What is a panickin? And why should we not follow that?
Well, in some cases, they're good people that really have the best and they want, you know, they want to do things. But
oh, that's us.
I call them panickins because maybe they're not smart because they're playing right into the enemy's camp. And in other cases, they really are people that panic. They can't handle pressure. And, you know, both are sort of dangerous.
I see this phrase.
Are we dangerous? We might be a little dangerous for deepfake globalists. No, that's it.
That is hilarious. No. That's just a guy asking the term. He kind of went back to old stuff. At least he didn't say.
Yeah, that would
don't
be
a panicking if you don't like your kid having a heart attack from the mRNA shot. You don't like Fauci and Bill Gates being your doctor. You know, don't be a panicking. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is hilarious. We're going to have a lot of fun memes with this.
I don't know how he's not more of a panicking. It's like, dude, they tried to kill you twice. They sent you to jail. They stole an election from you. It's like, how are you not a panicking? Like, they're taking our country.
But you see him in all these press conferences going, we need indictments. We need indictments. We need indictments. And like Wimpy from Popeye's like, I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
But I'm telling you, the pressure is working.
Well, there's no doubt they're feeling the pressure. That's true. Otherwise, they wouldn't still be naming his panickins.
Well, I mean, Ted Kuhn, if they would have gone to recess, he'd have got all his appointments for at least a year, and that, okay, and then he extended it. And if they'd have stayed in, they could have pressured it and got him through. Instead, Thune to do a fake thing where every 5 days they do a quorum call. I'm only as strong as you are backing me. You figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Boost Your Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back, and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first, and if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check those interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cumanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. Be right back.
Give me liberty or give me death. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Or give me Alex Jones in the studio breaking news. Hey, by the way, we're going to swap this Alex out for a new one in 5 minutes. Alex Stein was actually just at the Texas Capitol dealing with some of the madness here. So we're going to have an update on that.
Is that in studio?
Yes, he is in studio. Paxton threatening arrest of these Democrats. We'll have that update.
But well, they can do that. They usually run to Oklahoma. I hear they're going to Illinois.
Well, they were threatening to go to Illinois tomorrow, but it looks like now with the threat of arrest.
Well, let me just say this, and I'll get out and let you host the show. I'm not saying you're going to see indictments, but this is the first time since the first Trump administration and now the first 194 days of this one that they have referred, not a referral to the DOJ for indictments from Senator Paul or Tulsi Gabbard, and the one we're told is from Gabbard. She referred it to the DOJ, and under pressure, because she's been talking to Trump, Bondi has been forced to give it to a grand jury. And the good sign is it's not a special prosecutor. It's a grand jury. The word is it's not going to be in D.C. because that's so controlled, 95% Democrat. And so those signs are looking very, very good right now. If it turns out to be D.C., the fix is totally in. But the word is it's not from Pam Bondi, obviously leaking it to Cain. And so this is what Trump wants. We have them cut and dry. They release a new damning proof on top of all the other damning proof. This is a first. This is not Q delusion. Joe Biden will be executed on January 20, 2021 at the inauguration. Hillary Clinton's in Guantanamo Bay. Easter bunnies are coming down the chimney on Christmas Eve. The Tooth Fairy's flying around Puff the Magic Dragon. This is the first time. And I agree, Bondi's under pressure from Tulsi Gabbard. But now we've got to apply maximum pressure because we're not panickins. We are your troopers that got your ass in 8.5, 9 years ago and have been put in prison like Owen and fired for you and try to stop people going in the building on January 6th when you had me lead the march. And we're the people that don't panic in the face of lawfare, tyranny, and attacks. We're the ones, the wave you rode in on, Mr. Trump, and we understand all of that. And so we're not panicking. We're winning. We're leading from the front. We're charging in, and we're not going to let Pam Bondi keep the fluoride in the water. We're with Kennedy. We're not going to let your chief of staff keep the fluoride in the water. We're not going to let your chief of staff circumvent with staffers and block Kennedy to keep mRNA on the market. He fired them and reversed their order. We are here to hold your feet to the fire and to pressure you. So we're not a panicking. We are a pressuring you. And we're going to make sure the bad members of your administration, like I did with Fiona Hill and others, get spotlighted so we get our agenda through, because we're your constituents. We're the voters. We elected you, and we support you the thick and thin. We're not summertime soldiers. Okay, we are winter patriots. That's what it's all about. We're not summer patriots. We're wintertime soldiers, and everybody knows it. So the neocon Israeli talk about what we first saw about don't be a panicking and all this. Oh, my gosh. Anytime we don't like something that Trump's doing. And when he first said panicking about my tariffs are going to work unless they panic you to crash the market, I said, that's a great term. He's right. We weren't a panicking. I had economists on. I researched. I said, this is a great idea, and it's working, and I was right again. But when you come out and say Epstein didn't do anything, even though his accomplice is in prison for it, and there's no blackmail, and he killed himself, and all that crap, I said, this is a disaster. Stop saying it. And he finally stopped and said, declassify it. Release whatever. Okay? So we're not a panicking. We're a winning because we're thoroughbreds. It's what we do. We've been targeted directly by Hillary and Obama in the same crossfire hurricane you were targeted in, the same NSA spying. The documents are all out. You know that. We're the actual soldiers, not the candy-ass politicians, not the lobbyists and people that'll sit there and smile at you and pull your chair out while they pull a knife out politically and stab it right in your kidneys, okay? So we'll straight shoot you every time, and I love it that we are the putting your feet to the firing. We are the placing the pressuring. We are the ones that are going to deliver the populist might to ensure long after Trump's not even in office that we don't just take back this country, but we take back the world from the globalist destroyer.
All right, Alex, do you want something good on a leave note or something that'll grind your gears a little bit?
Whatever.
All right, I'll give you both then. The memes are going to be great. The memes are going to be great. They already are. That's true. But here's a little example of what you were just ranting about. Pfizer CEO Albert attends $25 million fundraiser at Trump's golf club. So I'm sure Albert was in there telling them how great these vaccines are.
And then when he meets with Gates, we did run him down. When Gates tried to stop Kennedy's appointment, we ran him down.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
week. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Unmasking the elite's deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Second hour of the InfoWars War Room is Primetime 99 Alex Stein, debating his whole life as a Cowboys fan now. No, he's here actually because there's a lot of stuff happening at the Texas Capitol. You kind of got the classic Alex Stein troll moments in. You got to troll a little bit, but you also got treated with a little bit of reverence, a little bit of respect today.
I did. You know, these politicians, a lot of them came up to me. I'll just call them out. Mitch Little came up to me. Nate Shatline came up to me. And they said, oh, man, that was the funniest speech we've ever heard on Capitol Hill. And that they shared it to all their friends. But listen, though, I actually, it was only 2 minutes. And I know people are like, we might be referencing a video they haven't seen. But the point that I was really trying to make in like, because when I go into this, I'm trying to take a different angle. Like,
let me provide the quick context.
Okay, yes.
They were debating, one of the debates happening at the Capitol was transgender military members, one of the many debates. It's not really the force of what's happening at
the
Capitol.
Well, it's transgenders in women's spaces overall.
So, the whole transgender issue, it's been an issue here in Texas. They were debating it here today. And you were saying, no, obviously facetiously, but the point is very striking. We should have transgenders in the military as suicide bombers. They have the highest rate of suicide, so I actually think we should convert them to suicide bombers like the Islamists do. So that was kind of your joke. It's like there's a, it's like the hint, it's like delivered with a hint of reality, even though it's the absurd.
Well, it is real because the suicide rate within the trans community is extremely high. And it's actually really sad because we do need to point that out, because on a serious note, there's people like Chloe Cole whose parents didn't necessarily want them to get this trans surgery. But what doctors tell the parents is that, well, it's less likely that your child will be suicidal if we do this. So they use suicide in order to...
And then they get the kickbacks on the pills and the drugs, and it's just a big moneymaker for big pharma.
I mean, you guys have all seen the clips, but they're on tape saying that we like diagnosing a child with gender dysphoria because we have a patient for life. Literally, that's what they say. So, but the overarching point I was trying to make, though, and I bring that up, the trans in the military, that's something I say, but... It was really about the bathroom bill is today. So they were talking about outlawing transgenders in the bathroom, and it was just 100 trans people saying, I want to go pee in the women's restroom. But the point that I was trying to make towards the end of the video is that I was like, well, I'll welcome any of these ladyboys, any of these lesbians, these Rachel Maddows, want to come in the men's room and see a real, you know, wiener. You're welcome to come in there, because that's really that's the inverse of what they want. I know that's...
You mean it's not like a South Park rendition of the wiener?
Well, whatever it is, whatever your version of the wiener is, my point is these pervs are fighting tooth and nail to literally go and take a dump next to a biological female.
Yeah, they just want to be in the women's room.
So I'm going to go there and I'm going to pretend to be a pervert and be like, oh, I want the lesbians in here. I want as much punani in this bitch as possible. And that was kind of my point that I was really trying to make. But, you know, the trans suicide thing, everybody's talking about that. But I'll tell you this much. One thing I really saw, if I can give you the inside baseball, I hate to get all racial. There was one African-American trans person out of the 100 people that spoke. I just thought that was unique that it was all white men. It was literally all white men.
Thinking about it now. Because I've dealt with those perverts at the Capitol multiple times. I don't think I've ever seen a single black one.
No.
I think they've all been white.
That's what I'm saying. That, you know, obviously there's an exception to every rule. There's going to be maybe one or two. There was one.
How hard do you think they had to search? They dug.
They were
like, where can we find one?
And this is what made me so mad today is it's like they go and they have a coalition of people that are just there. It's like their job is to go at these meetings. So they're so well organized. But really, I never even saw that many pockets of them together because I was...
No. They only show up when it's these events. The only time they show up in stronger force is when they're trying to do like the drag queen...
Kids. That's the only time
where you'll find them in greater force.
Kids
Protect trans kids is their other big one.
Yeah. And they love kids. And there's multiple trans parents that had their kids there as props, at a Capitol meeting. It's like, man... This is not a place to bring your baby. This is a real building. People are conducting real business, and they're using their kids as props.
Well, that's what it is. It's just to sit there. But really, it's a bad look when you bring up that kid that you've done that to, and they can't even – you know, I was thinking about this too, not to get off topic, but it's kind of all in the same vein. I'm a very nostalgic person.
Everybody is. Nostalgia is – we make fun of nostalgia – I think nostalgia is good. You know, you reminisce about the good things, but it's not.
But there's a difference.
You can't get overboard where you're a Disney adult, though.
No. But I'm saying there's a difference between the type of nostalgia that you're talking about and the type of nostalgia I'm talking about is not just the like, oh, reminiscing on the good times. It's the realization that these kids will never experience the world that we grew up in.
That's a fact.
Is more of what it is. And so to get back to what you're talking about, I mean, dude. There was no such thing as a trans kid 20 years ago.
No
such thing. Now you have these kids getting drug around with dyed hair and boys in dresses, and they're sent up here as props during political discussion at the Texas Capitol. And I'm like, so it's beyond just the culture where a summer day for me used to be, let's say I was 12 or something. A summer day for me was getting up, eating a bowl of crappy, unhealthy cereal, and then getting on my bike and going down to the park and the tennis court.
Dude,
and then going to the pool. And then walking to Taco Bell and Walgreens. And then going to my buddy's house. We all played video games. And then mom calls for dinner and we all go home. Like, it's not only that they'll never get that. Now they're getting, hey, wear this wig to the Capitol for me.
No, you're exactly right. Because I spent every summer, every day on my bicycle going to, like, Burger House, buying, you know, like, using quarters to pay for hamburgers.
You could still buy stuff and change.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You find a quarter on the ground, you're like, I'm halfway to a taco.
Literally, I'd go, like, you know, in my house and look in the couch cushions, and I'd have, you know, $5. And that's enough to get, like, a whole meal back then on my bicycle.
You could feed your friends.
You'd
be a hero.
Gosh, we sound old, and we are getting old. that's just sad. See, that's another thing I think about my mortality. But not to crush the mood, but you are right, these kids. And it's Munchausen by proxy. And now I understand, you know, it's really not the kid's fault. It's these sick parents like Megan Fox having four trans kids. I mean, that's mathematically
impossible.
It's impossible.
No, but what is it? It's all the Hollywood. It's all Hollywood.
No, but you know who? Wait, who's the first one? Chaz Bono with Cher. She was kind of like, I mean, even there's other ones, but that was the famous one. Chaz Bono used to always go on the Howard Stern show. And they used to. Do you not remember that, Owen? Do you remember that era? Chaz Bono was like the. And then Magic Johnson had one, but that was kind of the first celebrity kid that, just because they were trans, they became a celebrity. They had reality shows. You don't remember Chaz Bono, Cher's son, but then
vaguely, but it was really like back then. I think
and that was like 99, 98.
It was more of like a shock thing than it was a political thing.
That's
I don't know.
Chaz.
That's how when I remember that stuff consuming, it was more of this is just shock value. It wasn't like this is a normalcy thing. It was like, oh, we're trying to be shock here.
Yeah, but
now they try to normalize it.
But I'm saying people saw that. They saw Cher being like a hero, and other celebrities are like, oh, we want to emulate that because we want to fast track it. And really the truth is all you have to do is be Jewish in Hollywood and you get to be successful. So I don't know why they have to have a trans kid. I don't know why that matters. Right?
Well, did you see way to go?
Well, we got to say it. You know, it's the JQ. We got
to
ask it.
But listen to this. Listen to this, though. Did you see the new Soulja Boy thing with the lawsuit? So
I follow Soulja Boy. He's the first guy to do everything, but I'm not, and I read the news. Well, can you fill me in?
So Soulja Boy apparently some time ago, not too long ago, has some spat with Marlon Wayans having a trans kid. So he says something about Marlon Wayans' trans kid.
Oh, I didn't realize this. So Soulja Boy has heat with Marlon Wayans.
Yeah,
over the Wayans
trans
family.
Kid. And they were great in the 90s. Yeah. Color, what was the name of the TV show? The Color.
In Living Color was
great
so good.
Before
Don't
political
be a
correctness.
Menace.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
They did good stuff. They still do good stuff. But anyway, so he gets into this thing with Soulja Boy over the trans kid. And Soulja Boy is, I guess, making fun of him. After that, now Soulja Boy is getting sued.
So after the trans thing, now Soulja Boy is getting sued from some former employee or something over harassment.
Oh, they're calling him a transphobe? Soulja Boy's a transphobe.
The lawsuits came after that.
Wow. I mean, you know, most black guys are transphobes, but then a lot of them, like George Floyd? Yeah, but well, I don't know about that.
He had a social media post about, he wasn't a big fan of him.
I mean, then I agree with his social media post, probably a little bit. Some of them, most of them, honestly.
Yeah, well, he might not be the hero the left thinks.
You know, and Marlon Wayans having a trans son, I did not realize that. That's spooky too, because he's ultra Hollywood. He grew up in Hollywood, so it kind of makes sense.
Well, how do you stay? How do you get the
name? I know, but how does he have one? Magic Johnson has one. All these, like, even the black guys in Hollywood have trans
Dwayne
children.
Wade. Look at
Dwayne Wade. What happened? Did you see the famous meme? You know how, it's such a funny meme. They need to pull it up. Pull it up, Dwayne Wade teaching Zaya Wade how to dribble. This is like the most famous.
That's his son, daughter?
It's his son, daughter, and the meme is them.
Or daughter, son. How do you?
I don't even know.
It was a boy, or it is a boy. They trans to a girl.
But one of the most famous memes in the black community is this, and it cuts to Zaya, and it cuts to it shows Dwayne Wade dribbling, and then it shows Dwayne Wade teaching the person, and it's a gay person dribbling a basketball with their butt. And in the black community, it's arguably one of the funniest memes.
I'm sure I've seen it, but it does not ring
the Zaya Wade. I know you have such a fast screw, but
watch,
we got some time. But
watch that. Watch Zaya Wade become the big first WNBA.
They would let him in. They would love it.
Yeah, they have to.
And that's another point I made too, is honestly, I said this last time on the show, I say this everywhere, I don't agree with conservatives outlawing transgenders in women's sports, because I am a gambler and I'm always looking for an edge. And I feel like that we can gamble on transgender athletes and win money.
Yeah, let's go.
And I lose everything on the Dallas Cowboys. Let me have one transgender out there swimming. This is it. This is the Zaya Wade. That's how Dwayne Wade's
hey, son. Hey, let me just give you some free advice. I'm going to give you some free advice. It might save you some money this season.
Yeah.
Find a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan.
that's the best.
Oh,
that,
my gosh.
That meme is, and a lot of people got canceled for sharing that meme.
Listen, find a Dallas Cowboys fan as over the top as you and just bet with them every weekend.
Yeah, but
that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say on that to cure your gambling ills.
Oh, let me tell you something sick I do. I don't even want to admit this because a lot of people are going to be listening to this. You know, the Cowboys last year, the Bengals, I bet the over in the Bengals. I bet against the Cowboys because I knew they were going to get their ass beat, because I watched the Cowboys get their ass beat all year. And I was like, I bet $500 on the Bengals, the over and to cover. And I hit both. I won like $1,100. And do not gamble, guys. It is very dangerous. It is addictive.
You and your boy Portnoy. You and your boy Portnoy teaming up on parlays.
Did you see me and Kirk Minahan, his co-host, and he came on my podcast. So, you know, we're trying to.
Are you trying to build the bridge?
I have apologized. I do think that it was very uncouth of me to bring a homeless naked man into their New York headquarters. I would agree that would be unprofessional. And I know Dave's going to see this, because we're going to clip it and we're going to, you know, tweet it at him. But Dave, I just want to say I have apologized for this. And his co-host came on and his co-host said I'm a good guy because I like Barstool. You know,
here's what I don't understand about it. And I'll get us back on topic here. What I don't understand about it is, you know, here's Barstool Sports that kind of emerged from the anti-political correct nature, right?
Their whole thing.
They emerged with the Daily Smoke Show and a chick half naked on like they emerged
politically incorrect.
Like that was the whole thing, was we're a bunch of drunks on a bar, we're a bunch of degenerates on a bar stool talking. So it's like,
which is relatable.
So they were successful, but it's like now that it's like, oh, now we want to do hijinks, and it's like, oh, no, we're somehow above that.
Yeah, and to defend myself, you know, I was invited on his podcast, and then Dave, you know, uninvited me because he thought I was too political. So that's kind of the backstory. And really and truly, I don't expect Dave Portnoy to like me, but I don't want him to hate me, because one thing that kind of spooked me, and it shouldn't have been a big deal, but Emily Austin, a lot of people are, you know, love her or hate her. You know, she's obviously, you know, a very popular person. She's, you know, Jewish, and so is Dave. And she was supposed to be a guest on my show, and Dave reached out to her personally. And told her not to come on my show, but she was already in Dallas. You know, we'd flown her out there and she decided to still come on my show. That's so I got to give her a lot of kudos. But when Dave did that, and it totally changed our friendship, our relationship, because all of a sudden she's like,
cue the soft piano.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is it's just, I realize that Dave knows a lot more people than me. He's very powerful and he's Jewish, and the last thing you guys want to do is you don't want to go after Benjamin Netanyahu, even though I see Yair, not you, Netanyahu, talking a lot of smack.
He just went on German TV.
Because they will,
did the ultimate exposure.
They will make you go to prison and kill yourself. So if that's what you want to do, if that sounds fun to you, if you want to go to prison and kill yourself and hang yourself over a bunk bed, then I encourage you to say whatever you want to say.
So getting back on topic here, let's get back to what you yes, mentioned. Yes. But I will just say this. When you follow the news, mm-hmm. specifically, you know, like somebody that's in media like me, like a to a sick degree, probably, yeah. like really to a sick degree, it's probably not healthy. But when you follow the news, there's a certain thing that you start to learn. It's like comprehension, recognition, and then application. So I use this example all the time because it's like the perfect example. Here's Dwayne Wade, and I forget the name of his celebrity wife.
Gabrielle Union.
Gabrielle Union, big actress. So what happens with those two? Well, they release their children as trans, and then they start getting millions of dollars in endorsement deals just pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. These Hollywood types, they release their kids as trans, and then all of a sudden they get the movie deals. They get the production credits. And so it's like you see that, and you're like, okay, I get it. I get it. You're essentially sacrificing your children to the whatever cult it is, trans cult, leftist cult, I don't know. But it's like from the outside looking in, it's like, okay, I see what you've done here. You've said, here's my child. We will trans them for the cause. Now give us the celebrity endorsement deals. Give us the movie deals. Keep us rich forever, and then you're good.
Well, and that's even, you know, because I always keep it weird, but, you know, there's the movie Rosemary's Baby, and, you know, they talk about Aleister Crowley.
Like Rosemary's Baby was like the 40s, too.
And then there's Aleister Crowley, where they have this thing called child sacrifice, and that's not, like, they show us in the movies to kind of desensitize to the idea that, like, even if it's real, like, you know, I don't know, it just gets in our subconscious and it makes us more accepting
well,
of it.
Well, did you see the new World of Worlds?
The newest one?
Released it?
No, I saw the one with Tom Cruise whenever.
Yeah, well, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say it. I mean, this isn't really a teaser. The new one features Ice Cube. It's actually it's a different take on.
I like Ice Cube.
Well, you know, he's kind of an anti-establishment type. Yeah. He kind of likes to red pill. I would say it's worth watching once. I wouldn't watch it again, but it's worth watching once. Filled with red pills. I mean,
really?
But it's exactly what you're talking about, where Ice Cube represents, a Department of Homeland Security guy. He's connected all the different government agencies, were under alien attack. So it's kind of a different perspective on War of the Worlds. But in this perspective that they bring it to you, they're basically showing you, yeah, the government spies on you with mm-hmm. everything you can imagine. Like anything you can think of what the government's capabilities are of spying on you, they have it. It's there. They already do it. And so he basically shows that in this movie. And then there's some other stuff in there like generational politics. And then I think the real big one is at one point they have like a 5-second screen flash that shows all of these different government secret programs. That's kind of it right there. Like the weather, the aliens, all this stuff. I mean, it's like massive red pills. Like it's rich. I mean, Ice Cube, there's political stuff both ways in all movies, but I mean, they had huge red pills in this movie.
And you know, Owen, let's actually look at the bigger picture of it. I would say Gen Z is already fully red pilled. I go to a lot of these campuses.
They grew up in that.
They are more outspoken. And even though there's some kind of like quote unquote libtarded, I know that's a cliche word. I use it a lot, but like most of these kids, even on both sides are kind of, I guess they're just a little, they know what's going on a little more than when we did because we had it a little easier when we were kids.
You know, it's almost like when we were growing up, it was, the culture was to kind of be that way, right? We grew up with like the Attitude Era. Let's put it like that. Or Ruthless Aggression. So it's like it was kind of promoted for us to be that way, right? Yeah. Gen X, millennials, like it was like promoted for you to kind of be rough around the edges and try to be a little cutting edge. It's kind of like the opposite where now the culture's like, oh, be soft, you know, be a little nincompoop, you know, just go along. And so now it's kind of like the natural rebellion is taking over. So it's not like they're being taught this. They're being taught one thing and they're just deciding we're going the opposite way.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I've just seen a big change. Like these kids are just so much, and I say woke, but because I don't really know. It's the opposite of woke, but I notice that these kids are just a little different. They're hipper to what's going on than I was at their age. And maybe that's a good thing, obviously, but I don't know. I feel like the red pills are they even, some people just can take them and then they just don't want to accept it. That's the problem. You know what I mean? Like we have this information and just some people are just going to be either they're on antidepressants or they have autism because a lot of trans people are autistic, and that's just, you know, a statistical fact. So like something else, like people are just maybe because we're getting dumber, but that's, I feel like we're red pilled, and the only people that don't realize what's going on are the ones that are too stupid to understand it.
Or they've just been caught up in the system for so long, it's just like the spin cycle, they can't get out of it. It's like a world.
But like every kid knows about Tower 7, probably.
Well, more so than, let's say, any other generation.
Yeah, like the people are learning about Tower 7.
But think about it, because here's another perspective. If you or I, when we were younger, if you or I wanted to seek out alternative information or try to get a different angle on things, you had InfoWars.
That's it.
And you might have had some other guys that have been around, yeah. But it was like, it was InfoWars, and it was kind of a smaller niche media setup. And you look at the demonization of Alex and InfoWars and others, so it was like, okay, they were able to kind of keep that over here, right? It was like, we don't even need to talk about that. That can just kind of exist over here. Well, now they have to attack it. They have to try to shut it down. But the point is that now there's so many other, whether they tune into primetime on a blimp, whether they tune into InfoWars at least 10 hours a day, like there's so many other places where they can go to get a different perspective than just the mainstream slop.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's going on. So, and most people really want to disconnect because the world is just so, I mean, I don't want to sound so cynical because it's really, we are so lucky to be alive. But just when you just, we consume so much, you know, media, and it just kind of just, I guess it's meant to distract us, but it makes it harder for us to be happy. And then you just see the amount of people that are on antidepressants. Like, until we just stop being, you know, so medicated, I don't think people will ever disconnect. It's like Brave New World. Like, everybody's on some sort of Soma, Prozac. And so the people that aren't, I mean, I'm not a doctor. Don't listen to me. I'm sure there's people that are struggling with depression, and, you know, maybe it works more as a, you know, some sort of placebo. But I think that's really what's wrong with society, is that we're so heavily medicated and vaccinated, and that those people are never going to be connected to the same world that you and I live in.
I think that there's been a different approach too, where, and I don't know if it was as extreme for our generation, but certainly generations before us, where it was really hard-nosed. And I'll admit I'm kind of cold with this. Like, people come to me with their emotional stress, or I'm like, yeah, okay, get over it. Like,
yeah, because like, life's the best bitch. Advice. Yeah,
like,
life's
are
a
you
bitch.
Depressed? Go exercise.
Exactly right. And you notice, you know, I'm going to be mad real quick because we only have not that much longer. You notice I've lost a lot of weight. You're not going to compliment my weight loss.
Well, I didn't know you were going to leave. I thought you were going to stick around.
Oh, I'll stick around, but I'm just saying. One more second. You can't even be like, oh, Alex, you know, I can see that you're in the gym hitting it right and it tight. You can't even, you know, lift it, brother.
Are you going to cry? Huh? You going to squirt some?
I say I am because you and I are friends and I'm out here grinding.
Is it all natural?
Oh, I'm not on the Zimp. Everybody thinks I'm on the Zimp. I'm not on the Zimp. Hand on a Bible. Get a Bible out here. I will swear on the Bible I am not on Ozempic. But I, you know what I do? Now the
Zimp on a blimp. Oh my God.
No, got a new fake sponsor. News. Fake news. That is, oh.
He's got a new sponsor.
Oh, look who's thin now.
Zimp on a blimp. Oh, let's go.
Oh,
let's go.
This right now.
Ding, ding, ding.
This is it right here. I'm going to break my shirt. Oh my God.
Weighing in at 250 pounds.
Alex, you motivated me. That's why I got in here.
Darker complected.
Okay, we were fat.
Alex Jones.
In the
blue ring. Weighing in at 220. Alex Stein.
No, but seriously, Alex, because of you, I was like, I gotta get in the gym. I gotta
ride. I'm actually getting too big muscle loss.
I know,
he's too big.
So good.
Look at this.
Owen.
This is a major TheAlexShowStore.com news alert. I am cutting this announcement on the 30th of July, 2025. That means you've only got 7 days to take advantage of this massive sale at TheAlexShowStore.com. Store-wide, buy one bottle of any of the amazing supplements or any of the Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, and you get another item absolutely free at TheAlexShowStore.com. And there's a catch, but it's a good catch. You got to be a VIP. It's $30 a month. It's just like being an Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers, special sales. You get massive discounts on every product right away by being a VIP. And you can cancel with one click in your profile anytime. Go to TheAlexShowStore.com right now and get Ultramethylene Blue capsules or liquid. Buy one, get one free. power plant, next level energy, way stronger than even Turbo Force. It's crazy. You add it with methylene drive product, it's dangerous. Be careful. These are incredible products. The Shilajit capsules and gummies. Ultimate Burn, incredible natural fat burning formula. Works great. People love it. Ultimate CMOS gummies and the capsules. The very strongest turmeric. Prebiotics, probiotics, gut cleanse. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com for the next 7 days. Buy one, get one free when you're a VIP. I want to thank you all for your support. These are incredible products. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and experience what it does for your health and overall vitality and know your fun tip of the spear. Thank you so much for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
I saw Alex Jones and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man.
Even Joey did.
Lost some weight.
He
looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is the, This is your big hit.
Yeah.
This is your big hit. What are you doing?
I found your headphone. I got it.
You lost yourself here.
I just didn't.
From your strip session?
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, it's funny. I really respect. I respect the freaking legend, the OG, the GOAT.
You guys just had a strip sesh.
I know, it kind of looks...
That's a first. I've had a lot of stuff happen on this set.
Yes.
We've had a lot of stuff happen on this exact set.
But we're going to get that edited before and after. Alex and I have been in the gym, and I
You want to talk about your weight loss?
No, but I brought it up. I'm just saying.
No, you should be proud. It's hard.
It is, but you guys can do it. Anybody can do it. But you know what I've been
doing? Did anyone ever give you shit? I mean, I was nice, but I used to give you shit about
it. I still have weight to lose. I'm not that thin. We're not, but I'm just saying.
You lost you at least what you lose,
I got
like 30
fat,
pounds?
Though. But you know what's funny? I was actually thin. This is the story. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm not trying to make you feel sorry. I was actually in really good shape. My mom passed away, gained weight. Then I actually lost weight again. And then my best friend passed away. And then I started, and that's no excuse to get fat, but we're just, there is a point when bad stuff happens to you, you know, I kind of use food as comfort, you know? So I would like, when I get in a funk, so what I do now is, to be honest, I'm on the methylene blue, and I don't even really have an appetite hardly.
Well, actually, the truth is, and this is what's hard for people to lose mm-hmm. weight, but you really just have to starve yourself.
You do. I hate to break it to you guys, and it's called intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
And it's where you have to go, and even if you want to eat in a, you know, caloric surplus, which you can't eat in a very big caloric surplus, but you can do it if you can fast for 36. If you can go 36 hours without eating, then you can have like a big meal, but then you got to go like another, you know,
or
18 hours, like every 18 hours, you know what I'm saying? But you have to go extended periods of time without food to lose weight.
Yeah.
It's just, you have to.
It goes one of two ways. You can either do the starvation route, mm-hmm. which is, I mean.
We call it fasting.
Fasting.
You say
yeah.
that, but
yeah,
really.
Well, we don't want you to be, anorexic, but, you know, it's fasting and not eating too much is the fastest, best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you do want to continue to eat what you like, then you have to be exercising constantly.
But it's so hard because two scoops of peanut butter is like an hour on the treadmill.
But see, you know what? You got to be careful with that. You got to be careful with that because calories are not.
That is true. That is true.
The general measurement of calories is not fair.
That is true because this is a little thing is what people don't realize is that when you eat high glycemic food, that is food that raises your insulin. The more insulin that your body raises, that puts your body in what is called fat storage mode. So when your body's in fat storage mode, you're eating a lot of sugars. It's keeping you in a high glycemic, hormonal balance, then it makes your body store fat. But if you stay, you know, low carb, you don't eat, you know, you basically meat or you just eat like vegetables that are low carb and they're very low glycemic. You can actually eat a lot of calories because it doesn't raise your insulin level. So it keeps your body in more of a fat burning mode.
Yeah. That's
instead
why
of a storage mode. So you
can't
eat
calories.
Foods. Yeah. As long,
it's
you know,
not
so there are healthier
best.
Options. So it's yeah. not just calories in, calories out. You're 100% right.
Yeah. It's
but if
like,
you restrict calories to very little, you lose weight. That's the formula. Like, you
yes.
know what I'm saying? Like, If over a week you eat very little, you'll lose
how
weight.
How much of, what are you, 25 pounds, I'd say?
I've lost, yeah, but I'm like right now, actually right now I'm at 210 right now, but I'm kind of bouncing. I'll be like 205, 208. But I'm going to get to 199. I got to get to under 200 because I'm 6'3.5", but I got to get to under 200. And you know, really, I would have already been there, but I travel. Like,
that's the hardest part.
Traveling's hard.
So that's when you
got to
starve. You just
got
to starve it.
But I'm always on these planes and I fly Southwest all the time. You see, I had a Daily Mail viral video and I'm, do not ban me, Southwest, type in Alex on Southwest Airlines. They canceled my flight and I went and I complained like a diva. I was like, are we going to get a free hotel room? Like, due to weather.
You know what, though? You were right. That was,
I was 100% right. Because the weather wasn't that bad. The weather, okay. Okay.
That
was
just bad. That is just how we get abused by the airlines.
I'm about to go to a meeting about okay. the defense of the future.
But you can keep your shoes on.
Yeah, you can keep your shoes on.
Owen is way more better shape than I am. But until I was about 20-something, I was in great shape, and I stopped. I just did with sheer 2-hour workouts, 6-mile jogs. I used to go to buffets, eat 2 pizzas a night, whatever I wanted to. 0.5 gallons of Dutch chocolate Bluebell ice cream.
Very good.
And then I stopped working out. I got really fat over the years not doing that, but I cut back on food.
Yeah.
When you have bigger muscles, Alex,
yes,
I'm telling you.
Do you like my Alex Jones tattoo?
If you grow your muscles,
yes.
Muscles use like twice as much energy as other than the brain.
Yes.
The brain uses the most per capita. So if you do a lot of different type of weight training, anaerobic, only 1.5 hours a day, maybe mm-hmm. split it up, 45 in the morning, 45 in the afternoon is the best, but if I have to, I do like 80 minutes a day at least. 7 days a week, everyone's going to take a rest if I'm exhausted. As long as you get enough electrolytes and stuff, and then just eat mainly protein and then like lettuce and stuff like that, a little bit of fruit or something. If I want to, I can lose a lot more weight. I've stopped intermittent fasting because I lost so much. I'm about to do a little bit more, shred about 10 more pounds off. Yeah, that's what I'm like. I'm actually 18 right there, if you believe it. Somebody took a picture. But let me get back to what I was saying. What I'm saying to you is, you look a lot skinnier. You don't look scrawny. You don't look skinny fat. But you would look even better if you built some muscle. And
you're
then
right.
you can get more calories if you start doing heavyweight training.
Right?
You're right. Real quick, before you go, Alex, pull this up. This is the new diet they're saying. It's basically the diet you said. Type in the 666 diet. I just read it on Daily Mail. I know it's a satanic thing. What they want you to do is they want you to work out 60 minutes a day, which is basically what you said, at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., which actually is good. They say if you separate...
Well, that's been known forever.
I know, but it's called the 666 diet. I just read it on Daily Mail, and I'm like, this is kind of satanic, but it also...
Don't you work out a lot in the morning and late at night?
I will always do morning. If I'm up to it at night, I'll go back and play basketball or something.
Yeah.
But I always try to get.
But I like to do what I can do twice a day, which is only like twice a week. And then I'll do like an hour workout with weights. Yeah. And you got to do stretching. And then I'll go for like just a 2-3 mile hike.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just good.
And I do.
And you have been doing the methylene blue?
I do that. I do, and I do about 6 miles every day. But I try to break it up like that.
But you said you have been doing the methylene blue.
I do it. And I do it when I fly. Cause like, you need a little extra. Your mitochondria gets
What are you doing
more.
For working out? Just starving?
No. I exercise. I do 6 miles every day. I walk 6 miles every day. And I work though. While I'm walking, I'm
yeah.
working. I'm doing. Okay, I'm,
you
know, I'm reading. I'm listening.
You want to lose? Do the weights. Tell them about
You're
muscle
right. Burn. I do need to lift more. But
explain to him that muscle burns fat.
You're 100% right.
Well, so when you lift a heavier weight, you will build more muscle. And then when you have more muscle, you'll burn more calories.
People, but real quick, people are going to think I'm crazy. I just read that article on Daily Mail. They're going to think I'm crazy. And I was like, this is weird. They type in 666
well,
Daily
already,
Mail.
They're just calling it 666.
Yeah, it was
they always
a weird
call classic
thing.
Stuff that.
This, or yeah, I just saw it like a second ago. No, that's not it. It was a Daily Mail article. I was like, this is very weird. But that is good advice to work out an hour a day. And if you split
well,
it up.
That's like in football. They do 2 days. Show up at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. and come back at like 3.
Yeah. Well, they changed that because it was so hot. So the liberals banned 2-a-days.
Oh, really? So you
can
do that.
They did that. Well, teams worked their way around it. Cause,
well, I got to enjoy 2-a-days.
Because football teams want to win. But that actually happened when I was in high school. Because we'd be out there playing soccer and the football team would have to call it.
All right, I got to go.
Yeah, but real quick, you also know the most important thing. You got to get this sun.
Oh, wait, everybody thinks we won and beat the Democrats. They're trying to show us on the 13th in state court and they're trying to federal court. I'm battling. I'm going to legal meeting right now for 2 hours.
You are?
So, hell yeah, just when we get shut down, which I'm not predicting, but everybody just thinks, oh, yeah, right. Just everybody needs to remember it, support the new thing. Yeah. It's going, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, but you got to mix a methane blue with the sunlight. That needs that. It's like the red light therapy. It's a combination.
Yeah, if you can get outside.
You,
mix it.
You know that,
for sure.
Right?
Are you getting any sun?
Yes, I do. I got some sun. I got the tan lines. I guess I'm not tan enough.
You look
not,
like Casper.
You look like you're under a tanning bed. What are you talking about?
You look like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah, I know. I'm not that. I got some tan lines, but I'm naturally fair. I'm a white guy.
On my dad's side, I'm part Comanche, dude.
I know. You look Middle Eastern almost.
I can't.
You do look.
I'll see you later,
okay.
Buddy.
He's actually Qatari.
That's what I'm saying. He does look.
I really am.
I believe it. I believe
unlike
because he's
you
strong.
From the tribe of Stein.
He's a bull. He's a running bull.
From the tribe of Stein over here.
Listen. Listen, I can solve the Gaza Strip in 2 seconds. I just do what Trump does. We go to each Palestinian. There's only like 200,000 of them left. We each give them $1 million and a place in Canada. And literally, I'm dead serious. We get them a penthouse in Canada, in Toronto. They got an extra place in Toronto.
Toronto? Canada isn't that a little closer comfort?
Canada said they'll take him. You saw that.
So move him up north.
No, but I'm just, okay, then move him. If Canada, there's not even 200,000 of them.
Did you see what happened?
We're in Austin. What is this? 5 million? I'm in Dallas. What is that? 7 million?
No, Austin. Well, it's bigger than they'll tell you, but it's like officially 1 million.
Well, whatever it is, 200,000 can fit in Toronto.
Did you see what happened in France?
With Brigitte Macron dropping her lawsuit?
I don't think that's true.
Oh, that's fake news.
I don't think that's true. But France started letting in. Because, you know, the whole agenda is to bring the Palestinians into Europe, into the West. Like, that's the whole agenda, is push them out, Israel.
Let them go. Why don't they, ask Grok how many Palestinians are left.
I think there's 1.8 million left.
Okay, do 1.8 times a million. So what is that, 1.8 trillion? A million trillion?
Is how much money they're going to cost?
Yeah, do that math. What is that? We could pay for it right now. The world is already, Google the world's debt. I think the world's
your
debt.
Your tribe is speaking through you right now.
The world's debt right now, I believe, is $370 trillion. The world, somehow the world's in debt.
Yeah,
we're in debt
to like aliens or something.
No, but just Google it. Let's think of the world debt. So if the world debt is at $372 trillion, let's just add $170 trillion to it. I mean, what is it to it? Who does it hurt? Who does it hurt?
I don't want them in. I don't know.
I don't want them either. But that's why they go to Canada and they're not allowed.
Then they're here. Then they're here. If they're in Canada, they're here.
Dude.
So France starts their program.
They're already in Minnesota. They got a Somali guy in Minnesota. We're already taking over.
They got
over.
A lot of Somalis over there.
Well, this is it. Look at this.
They run the healthcare scams and everything.
The global debt, what did I say, 350? It's 315.
315 trillion.
How are we in debt?
Hold on,
the world's in
debt.
The earth has a loan out.
They claimed Alex owed $3 trillion. That's 1% of the world's debt. Alex at InfoWars owes 1% of the world's debt. Look that up. They wanted $3 trillion. Hey, but so France lets them in because the whole agenda was for Israel to take it. That was the whole plan all along and then push the Palestinians into the West, which is, by the way, that's what happened in Iraq, Afghanistan, and then they all complained. So it's the same old thing, just a different part of the world. So France lets the Palestinians in. They bring hardcore anti-Semitism into France and they get booted right back into Palestine.
They sent them back to Palestine?
Send them back.
No, they don't go back. You're not allowed to go back. What is that? Are we in trouble?
Some breaking news here.
That's not, whenever they bring paper on live shows, that's never usually good.
So it looks like Department of Homeland Security. Here we go. See, you want to talk about pressure? You might not have seen this because you were in the Texas State House all day.
All day.
You want to talk about?
I haven't eaten all day. I've been there since.
That's good.
I've been there since 7 this morning.
DHS has removed provision withholding disaster funding for cities who boycott Israel.
Yeah, of course.
So they tried to withhold disaster aid if you weren't loyal to Israel. They've just removed that provision.
Oh, they removed it?
Yeah.
Wait. The Department of Homeland.
I'll read you the official.
Trump just put it in.
Well, Trump, he didn't know what was going on.
Okay,
he would have
didn't know
it.
What it was. Okay, because I'm confused because I'm.
This was the DHS.
Chain of custody?
This was the DHS. Okay, DHS lawyers wrote this up. So in order to get the disaster aid, they had an anti-discrimination portion, subsection D, section 1. Discriminatory prohibited boycott means refusing to deal, cutting commercial relations, or otherwise limiting commercial relations specifically with Israeli companies or with companies doing business in or with Israel or authorized by, licensed by, or organized under the laws of Israel to do business. Now, why any of that is even in there anyway is the obvious question. Texas has similar laws. I think actually, I know Florida does. I think like 22 states have those laws on the state books that you can't be anti-Israel. But this was the first time we ever seen it at least applied as far as DHS emergency relief is concerned. So they've removed that. They've removed that provision thanks to pressure.
I think that's very good. Yeah, I think that's weird that was in there. I think that.
Why would that be in there?
I don't know. And why does that
Israel has no influence.
I know. Why does that keep happening so much?
It's so weird because they have no influence.
You know, but most people will tell you that they don't like AIPAC, you know. But then every single politician is paid by him. What is it, 88%?
Well, not Thomas Massie.
Yeah, very few aren't, but most of them are.
Did you see that?
Did you see Slotnick or whatever, saying Senator Slotnick?
Slotkin?
Slotkin. Well, I can't even say. I like slot machines. I can't read. You know, I'm from Dallas.
What about it?
Well, CIA, they're just good old country boys wearing blue jeans, not doing much. It's just, you know, it's all running cover. They're all so full of crap. Their eyes are all brown. Just you look into them and they're just, it looks red and from the hell because they're all demonic. You know what I mean?
Are you talking about Slotkin specifically?
Well, most of them, but just, you know, the people just influenced by foreign governments to, you know.
Well, it's hard to be a traitor.
Right now, what is Mike Johnson? What's Mike Johnson doing? He said he's going to go represent his constituents and then he's in. Where is he? He's in Tel
Aviv. He's at the wall. Guys, can we put the wall up? You might need to pay some tribute. You're actually.
They want me to go on a trip.
I've been invited.
You want to see the itinerary I got? Hold on.
You got an itinerary? See, I rejected it.
You
want to
see? I don't know. I don't think I'll get in trouble. You know the Twitter sensation, Nick Sorter?
Mm-hmm.
Great journalist.
Yeah, we love Nick.
So good. So, he's mad at me, which I think I could still go on the trip. Look at the itinerary right there. Pull it up. You look at my phone.
Is this the White House one, or is this?
This is the one to go on.
Charlie Kirk organization?
This is a different one. This is to go to Poland, to go to Warsaw,
to see the Holocaust.
Yeah,
I see. Damn!
Look at the itinerary. You see, every day you got to go to like 4 different concentration camps.
Yeah, I see. Every day there's a new concentration camp. Yeah,
like lunch at Dachau.
And I'm sure there'll be.
It's not funny. It's not funny, but it's just, you know, it's
plenty of lectures.
It's weird that you're like eating at a McDonald's at a concentration camp. That is.
Did you see this? So
weird.
Glenn Greenwald pulled the receipts here. Actually, I think with Jake Sherman reporting, the huge amounts of money being poured into the super PAC to remove Thomas Massie from Congress. It's all coming from big GOP donors for whom Israel is a top cause. Miriam Adelson, John Paulson, and Paul Singer. So it's the same people. This is why Trump is anti-Massie, because it's the same people that funded his campaign that are trying to fund anti-Massie campaign. Massie will win anyway, which is going to be funny.
Well, Massie, he has been able to dodge these bullets, but, you know, and I love Thomas Massie.
Well, he's very popular.
He is very popular. He has control of it, but you just never know. I mean, they just, you know. AIPAC comes after you. It's a hard thing to say.
They got Bowman. They got Bush. Who else? I think that's it, though. They couldn't defeat. They defeated Jamal Bowman. They defeated Cory Bush. They
crushed Bowman. I mean, yeah, that was easy for them. I think Mamdani is going to win in New York.
I do too. I got a friendly wager on Mamdani.
Who? Like for what? How much?
That's classified.
With who though?
It's a friendly wager.
He's going to win. Well, I predict it here. But every time I predict something, it's always the opposite. So if you're going to bet.
Oh, crap. You're like the Jim Cramer of it.
I am. I'm the Jim Cramer. I'm going to Jim Cramer. But I think he's going to win. I see those videos where it's like the man on the street videos. And there's a bunch of that are going viral. And they're like, oh, I want a free grocery store. Like,
yeah,
I want.
They believe it.
I want rent stabilization. You know, here's the, because they want it. Why not? It's so expensive there. It's impossible to live there comfortably.
This is the problem I think conservatives have when dealing with the communists. Mm-hmm. Is that... They don't, you and I have a better understanding of it. We're not, I mean, I'm never going to be a communist. I'm an avid anti-communist, but I'm also a realist. I realize that other people think differently and vote differently. That's a real phenomenon. So they try to attack this issue and they're like, oh, you know, nothing is free. Free groceries is stupid. All this stuff is free. And it's like, okay, well, you have to understand you're dealing with an entire generation of people that was literally born into debt slavery. And feel like there's no way for them to get out, right? They feel like they'll never own anything. They'll never own anything. They'll never be able to keep their nose above water financially. So they're just voting accordingly. And again, I would never vote that way. When I was broke and in college, I would still never vote that way. But the point is you have to understand the why. Like, yeah. Why?
And I read, it reminds me of this anti-Semitic meme that I read, where it was really anti-Semitic, and it said, kids in Israel don't have any college debt because they get free college and they get free health care, and kids in America have college debt and no free health care.
Because?
I don't know. I don't know.
You don't want to finish that?
I don't know why.
You don't want to go?
I don't want to be anti-Semitic.
You don't want to do the full Ferris wheel loop? You're going to stick it the
I'm just gonna stay
two-thirds
there.
Of the way through?
Yeah, just because I don't want to get in trouble.
Oh. Okay.
I don't want to get canceled because I love Israel. I think it's very important what they do to protect us.
But yeah, you're going to. Pretty soon,
without them, we wouldn't be here. So thank you so much.
America wouldn't exist.
Is that true? Was it America built on religious freedom? Isn't that what we're here to? Isn't that why the pilgrims came here?
Actually, that is part of the reason why they came here. They had hope in a new world. They wanted to be free. And then once the government started saying, oh, not so fast, then they had the Revolutionary War.
Were the pilgrims Jewish? No, right?
I don't recall a Jewish pilgrim. I feel like we would know by now. Hey, but you might have just given them an idea.
What?
Oh, you mean you don't remember Robert Adelstein? The captain of the Santa Maria?
Yeah, he was. Nita Pinta and Goldbergstein.
Yeah, they captained the ships. They paid for the whole journey. Come on, man.
No. Well, I just... I'll tell you this much. Really and truly, I think the government, after today... And I'm not, you know, trying to gas myself up, but, you know, going and speaking at this meeting, it's like, and seeing how they're trying to, I guess, arrest the other politicians that are not showing up. Like, it's all so corrupt and, like, they can't do it. It's all just, like, political theater and just such bull crap.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's funny. I guess our founding fathers maybe was like that during their time, too. I don't know. I mean, I don't
know.
To me, okay.
It's like, what does the Revolutionary War really represent? Or what is 1776? What is the American Revolution? It's the whole concept that you need a government, or you need a king, or you need a ruler, or you need somebody taxing you or telling you how to live your life. Like, the idea was that that was not possible. And the Founding Fathers set out to disprove that and say, no, you can have self-government. You can have self-sustainability. You can have an independent nation of people, and watch, it'll be the most successful nation in the world. And they were right.
Mm-hmm.
They were right. Well, now that the government is so big again, controlling our lives again, by hook, by crook, officially, unofficially, whatever, now here we are. Our cities are run down. We're way too tied into foreign entanglements. We're $37 trillion in debt, whatever the number is. And it's like...
Yeah, but Owen, I don't even know how you can really honestly sleep at night because, and I mean this with all due respect, because the government has literally thrown you in jail for doing jack shite. Like, you know what I mean?
Worse facilities, too.
I'm just saying...
They put Maxwell in a Fed camp.
I know, and I
was in a worse prison than Maxwell.
And you've been screwed over, and I've been targeted, believe it or not, not to your degree. I'm not trying to be a victim. I'm just saying, it's just, you've been just persecuted to show you that our government is, it, not everybody's bad, but it only takes a couple of them to be corrupt, to mess up the whole freaking thing, to make the whole, you know, the foundation of it is just garbage because of that, because there's even a little corruption, and there is, so. And you've been, the government weaponized against you, against this place, and it's very, I don't know. It's very bad. And then I don't even think she's going to get her day in court. Do you think? Because there is, at the end of the day, I was talking to this guy. I just met him, and I'm not, now I'm gassing up a guy that's a CIA guy. And he was telling me, his name's John Curacao. Is that
Curacao?
Yeah, yeah, Curacao. He's an interesting guy, but there's just levels of classified information that will never get exposed, no matter who's on it.
Yeah. Well, I think that the real juicy stuff that Epstein or Maxwell had is in no government entity, or it's in an official, unofficial government entity.
What do you mean? I mean, he's obviously connected to, I mean, he had multiple passports.
What I'm saying, okay, I would say if they go and raid Epstein's New York mansion, if they go and raid Epstein Island, whatever he was filming there, that's not where it's at. They're not.
They have all the information. There's no new information.
They're not keeping the blackmail. But I'm saying they're not keeping the blackmail material at Epstein's residence.
No, it's all in a warehouse. It's like the end of Indiana Jones. You know, they like get the, you know,
with all the
junk in the Smithsonian. But
that's what I'm saying. It's, and we all get frustrated, but I do think they're being honest about this when they say, all we found was his own porn stash, whatever that was. All they found. So I'm saying, yeah, the blackmail stuff, whatever's being recorded at his Florida place, New York place, and the island.
Oh, yeah, that's already government property.
Yeah, that wasn't in his safe.
That is Central Intelligence Agency property that is at a level of classification that we're not, you know, privy to. Because, listen, it's just espionage. It exists, whether you want to believe it or not. So. There's spies. There's spies within our own government or in foreign governments, and there's double spies. Believe it or not, James Bond has some, you know, real characteristics from real life. And it sounds goofball, but, I think that's what's going on. So I think he was just probably getting, putting people in, you know, vulnerable situations and taking advantage of that. And I think that's obvious. And
you end up with an underage person. You didn't know.
Like RFK's on there multiple times doing dinosaur hunts, and I believe him. You know, then, you know, if I believe him, then, you know, Jeffrey Epstein was nice to some people. He wasn't raping everybody. I'm not gassing Jeffrey Epstein. He's a sicko. I'm just saying what's real and what's fake, you know? I mean, obviously he's a pervert, but it's like RFK's on there multiple times, so that's kind of weird.
Did you ever see the movie? I think it came out last year, Blink Twice. I'll do a little spoiler alert here. You would have known if you would have seen it. A little spoiler alert here, but basically I think it has kind of an Epstein Island, like, inspiration to it. But basically they have these girls on the island and they're basically sex slaves, but they don't even know it because they're so drugged and they're so.
Yeah, they just think they're having fun.
Yeah, and they're in the atmosphere of excess food and fun and wine.
They give them anti-anxiety pills.
They're all drugged up. They don't even realize they're sex slaves until they sober up.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what the hell?
They buy them stuff. Well.
Yeah. All right, Alex Stein. Where
thank you so much. Primetime 99, Alex Stein, Pimp on a Blimp. Watch me on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Look me up, please. Thank you for having me.
And
Alex Jones, thank you, Alex. Thank you to the crew.
Blimp is riding a little higher these days.
Less weight on it. A little less.
There you go. A little chest hair for you on the way out.
Dude, clip it.
Only Primetime 99 style.
Love you guys.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. and so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Here's a sure sign that the left is collapsing. Media Matters for America, founded by David Brock in 2004, finds itself teetering on the edge of collapse as it grapples with a staggering $15 million in legal fees stemming from lawsuits initiated by Elon Musk, the left's Marxist watchdog, long known for harassing media that reveals too much about the left's corruption, has inevitably been decimated by financial blows from multiple fronts, while its fair-weather friends scatter. Media Matters' slow race to dissolution deepened following a November 2023 report by Media Matters claiming that advertisements on X were appearing alongside pro-Nazi content, a claim that sparked a massive $75 million advertiser exodus from X. This controversy ignited Musk's lawsuit, alleging the organization deliberately manipulated the platform's algorithm to create a false narrative, damaging X's reputation and revenue. The fallout left Media Matters calling the lawsuit frivolous, causing Media Matters to file a motion to dismiss, which was denied. A countersuit battle has now spread to a California court in a desperate attempt by Media Matters to block X's lawsuits in Ireland and Singapore, alleging these are part of a vendetta-driven campaign to punish Media Matters. Now Media Matters is being hit from all sides as legal and financial pressures mount. The Federal Trade Commission's May 2025 investigation into alleged illegal collusion to reduce X's revenue, combined with earlier probes by Texas and Missouri attorneys general, has run up a tab on Media Matters of $15 million in legal fees, forcing layoffs and operational cuts. Big donors like George Soros, the Tides Foundation, and the NEA are nowhere to be found. Fundraising struggles and advocacy hesitancy have further strained the organization, which has considered closure as a last resort, according to internal documents from a New York Times report, but Media Matters publicly denies plans to shut down. Hubris is a heavy drug, and its supplier, the left's corporate power structure, is rapidly collapsing.
We're getting to the point now the left is entering the era of sedition, insurrection, but in the last week, it's become surreal. We had this Democratic official, Sadie Perkins, and she posted that she was almost happy that we lost over 100 people, the majority of them children, this flash flood in Texas. She said they were all white and therefore they were discriminatory. I've never seen anything like it. It's very, very, very disturbing. We've had now two organized assassination attempts of ICE agents who are just following the law. Why is it happening? We've said in the past that part of it is that the Democratic agenda nobody wanted. As a result of that, they lost the Congress, they lost the White House, they lost, of course, the Supreme Court. So they don't have any power, so they're frustrated. In the first administration, Donald Trump addressed symptoms of the progressive project. This time, he's dealing with the symptoms, and the left is saying, oh my gosh, Donald Trump is starting to address our left-wing monopoly. If he were to be successful, we would collapse, dissipate, disintegrate.
Media Matters simply represents the internal chaos of the FAFOed Democratic Party. The Democrat Party's approval ratings have plummeted to historic lows, with only 27% of registered voters viewing them positively, according to an NBC News poll. The party's reliance on elite-driven, focus-group-tested horse pucky has alienated voters. Furthermore, this greedy, narcissistic gerontocracy has damaged future generations, obliterating the American dream. And as the Corporation for Public Broadcasting propaganda machine goes down like the Titanic, and Act Blue is investigated for foreign donations, and the Golden Goose USAID is no longer funding the Democrats' NGO network, undermining the United States sovereignty, the Democratic Party has become
a shadow. All right, the full John Bowne report can be found at Bandout Video. You know, it's funny. The same people that sued Elon Musk sued me, and the same people that I sued, Elon Musk is now suing. That's fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. You have 7 days from this date to buy one bottle of any of our amazing supplements, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the list goes on and on, Ultimate Life Force, and get a bottle absolutely free. But you got to be a VIP. But that's the best part. This catch is a great deal. You spend $30 a month being a subscriber, you cancel any time, and you get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers just sent to you, and you can cancel any time. So you make $10 by becoming a subscriber, you can cancel any time. This is only running for 7 days. Experience Ultramethylene Blue. Experience the other incredible supplements. But also, the buy one, get one free goes for the ball caps, the t-shirts, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Those of you who've ever gotten products, now's the time. It'll blow you away. Get the Methylene Blue, bare minimum, at thealexofstore.com.
The pressure, and we won. And they are now removing the Israeli loyalty pledge from disaster relief aid. Now they need to do the same thing at the state level, like they have similar laws in Texas and Florida and others, that they need to stop that too. So if we can apply it there, we can apply it anywhere. But that just shows you, yes, when we apply pressure, we can have victories. And that's why it's so sad. You know, watching all the people like, oh, just trust Trump, trust the plan. It's like, no, we're all in this. We're all fighting for the country here. And when we see something we don't like, we're going to apply pressure there, and sometimes we get results. That's why we do it. So today's one of those examples. So I guess I can throw these headlines out. Nice. Very good. Go ahead and remove those from the desk. Now, we are going to do a news blitz here. It's been a bit of a wild show. Wasn't really anticipating any of that, actually. But has been wild and fun. But we will do a news blitz here and get to all the videos as well. But we haven't barely plugged today. And so, folks, remember, if you are a VIP member, we are running a sale at thealexjonesstore.com for our VIPs. And this is an appreciation for you. It's a way to help fund us, but we want to show some appreciation specifically for our VIP members. We love our entire support in the audience, but the VIPs have been very beneficial to keeping this place on the air and budgeted into the future. So for our VIPs, a store-wide buy one, get one free super sale on all health supplements and all apparel while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com. This is for VIPs only. Now, if you go to thealexjonesstore.com, right there on the landing page, you'll see a button. You can become a VIP member. The link is right there. Or you can go directly to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP, and you can go through that process and become a VIP today and immediately get access to this sale while supplies last. So for VIPs, buy one, get one on all health supplements and all apparel right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And of course, when you're a VIP member, you also get bonus entries
Anytime you shop at the alexjonesstore.com, you get multiple entries into our raffles and giveaways, but you get bonus entries when you are a VIP member. So just part of the benefits that come along with being a VIP. Right now, it's the Jeep Gladiator Rubicon that you will be entered to win when you shop at the alexjonesstore.com. Okay, let's just start putting them down. Picking them up, putting them down. Attorney General Ken Paxton, he's also just released another statement. I don't have it on my desk. House Democrats have fled the state in a cowardly desertion of their responsibilities. These jet-setting runaways abandoned Texas and sacrificed their constituents for a publicity stunt. It's imperative that they be swiftly arrested, punished, and face the full force of the law. He's released multiple similar statements even since, calling for the arrest of these lawmakers, these Democrats. And apparently arrest warrants have already been approved should they not be back in Texas to do their job when the gavel falls. So we'll see if they want to engage in these tactics with Attorney General Ken Paxton. And for Ken Paxton, who's now running for Senate, and who knows what other aspirations he might have, he's going to be looking to get some wins. He's going to be looking to get some political wins, and he's a serious dealer. So this is going to be an interesting one. If they try to play with him, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm betting on any arrests, but there will be something. They will not just simply get away with it. Now, you've also got the redistricting, and a lot of this is a fight over the redistricting by the Democrats because they know they're gonna lose a couple of seats. One in specific that they don't want to face right now, and that is losing Jasmine Crockett. Now, I think Sheldon Daniels, who's going to be running against her, is already a very viable candidate and could possibly beat her even with the gerrymandered district. But certainly now, if the redistricting goes through, he has a much higher chance of winning. Now, I got a couple clips from old Jasmine here. And, you know, I don't like playing the clips of the Democrat morons too often. I mean, it's, you know, you can laugh at them. But every once in a while, it's important to listen to what they're saying so that you can understand where they're coming from and what's on their mind. And so, yes, even somebody is, let's say, politically illiterate as a Jasmine Crockett, every once in a while, you can pick something out from what she's saying. Now, first of all, let's just start with this one, the short one here in clip 11. Here she is basically admitting now that Texas has cleaned up the voter rolls and stopped mail-in voting that the Democrats are hemorrhaging voters. Yeah, no kidding. Listen to this admission on MSNBC, no less, in clip 11.
There was a benefit to shining a light on what it was that they were trying to do in the dark in Texas. So unfortunately, we've seen our numbers fall now that they have these voter restrictions in place. But I do think it's important for us to have the conversation around.
It's not voter restrictions, folks. It's voter ID laws that are basic common sense. It's removing the voter rolls of people that have died and left the state and are no longer eligible to vote. So they're admitting now that stopping illegal votes hurts the Democrats specifically. They don't even deny it. By the way, what do you guys think about Jasmine's new wig? Are you a fan of the new wig? Fan of the new look? Not bad. Yeah. Oh. I actually like it that you can't hear the crew in my ear. It drives Alex nuts. I actually like it. I think it adds a bit of a mystery here. The crew in my ear goes, is she trying to look like Candace Owens? Well, you know, Candace is pretty popular. I don't think Candace is wearing a wig, though. I can't say for sure. I have met Candace. I do not believe she was wearing a wig. I am convinced Jasmine is wearing a wig. Oh, man. What do you guys think of the new hair, huh? Little Jasmine with she got a new look going. I think it's good for her, actually. It's a little more professional, a little more clean.
I don't think it'll translate to a political victory, but I think it's a good look, actually. Now, okay, let's get into this longer clip and break some of this down. So she's attacking Jasmine Crockett. She's attacking when she's talking about the attorney general. She's talking about Ken Paxton here. Just so everybody understands, that was the nature of the question. She's talking about Ken Paxton. But I want to just kind of break some of this down bit by bit here. It's like, why is Jasmine Crockett complaining that the Democrats are losing voters? Well, because there's a voter ID law and they've cleared the voter rolls. So that's them admitting we only win elections because we cheat. Oh, okay, well, we knew that. Now you are admitting it. Here's another one of her attacking Ken Paxton in clip 10.
This bill is going to continue to move on the Senate side because the Senate side is still in, but the House is not in. And as we know, it's got to pass both chambers before it can get to anybody's desk. So as of right now, there is nothing that they can do as it relates to the House. I am so very proud. Please, please, please look up these amazing state representatives. Show them some love. Encourage them because this is really hard to make the decision that you're going to leave your family behind as you go and hide out because we got a rogue bootleg criminal attorney general who absolutely is like wanting to be Trump 2.0 himself.
All right, and he wants to put real warrants. Quick. So now she's commenting on the arrest warrants and everything. No, you're breaking the law. Okay? You're breaking the law. And you admit it. Oh, we're hiding. So you admit you're breaking the law. It's a real strange thing. And by the way, Ken Paxton beat the charges. And it even came out. It was an FBI entrapment. It was an FBI setup. It all came out. He won in court. So you should probably, you might want to get a defense attorney here. You might be sued for defamation. Okay? It's wild listening to them talk. It really is. It's strange. Her trying to be like Candace Owens. Ken Paxton wants to be Trump 2.0. I think he just wants to be Ken Paxton. You might want to be Candace Owens, though. All right, continue.
Though, like, he's the one that was under federal investigation for years, and he's the one that had felony indictments pending for years, and of course was avoiding prosecution for years. Yeah, because, like, that's what makes you real MAGA, is, like, you got to be about this thug life. You got to be, like, cheating on your wife. You got to at least be going to get impeached.
By the way, all right, I'll go ahead and pause it. I won't get into Ken Paxton's personal affairs. They tried to hit him with that. It's not going to affect the election. But yeah, I guess you're kind of right. You know, we are the political bad boys, aren't we? You're the establishment. Yeah. You're the political establishment. We're the rebels. That's right. The state comes after us. The government comes after us. The government puts us in prison and censors us and lies about us and everything else. Yeah, that's right. That's who we are. You're the establishment. You want to be the establishment. So, okay, yeah, all right, we're on the same page. Continue.
She just wasn't convicted again. We've kind of seen this play out before. Anyway,
kind of seen this.
But he got the nerve to talk about who should be arrested. Give me a break. Kind of like, you know, the orange orangutan, you know, the Timu Hitler. He on the same nonsense too. Bro, you the real criminal.
Come on, bro.
Like, stop coming for people that's out here in these streets just trying to make this country really work by going to work and so you grabbing them up at work. That's a whole other issue. Anyway, the point is I am currently in Arizona and the other point is they thought that they were going to put that terrible map on the floor tomorrow in the House.
And they will. And if you're not there, then you'll be arrested. All right. Now listen. Okay. This is where I go back to putting the pressure on the Trump administration. Nice. I know, and this is like everybody should be on the same page here. And I even understand to a certain degree where Trump's mindset is at here. It's a pragmatic thing, and it's like, you only move forward type of thing. I totally get it. I'm in many ways the same way. It's like I could sit here and get stuck on they're not doing anything about swatting. It's like I don't even want to go back to that. You know, they're trying to they're trying to tell us again after I said that last week and some other people are rustling some feathers that, oh, wait, no, we did. We are investigating everything. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll back off it. It's not a big thing for me anymore. You guys, if you guys want to actually do it, you'll do it. If not, whatever. I've said my piece. It is what it is. But see, it's like I could sit here and get stuck on that issue, or I could sit here and get stuck on, you know, getting arrested for January 6th and just sit here and like stick on these things. But I get it. It's like you just move forward. You do that issue, you make a thing of it, but you're always moving forward and you're being pragmatic. So it's like for Trump, I get it. Even when it comes to the assassination, whatever, it's like, you know what? I got to just move forward. I got to be pragmatic. Moving forward, we're moving forward. Okay. Here's the difference. When it comes to all the charges, or Trump's a felon, like they love to claim, this is why it's not only so important to arrest the deep state, but this is why it's also important for Trump, not just for his own sake. And this is a guy who obviously has a big ego, probably a narcissist. And that's fine. Maybe it'll be a good thing if he considers his reputation when this is all said and done as president. But I get it where he's like, I don't want to go back and deal with them coming after me in the courts. I don't want to go back and deal with them in Georgia or deal with them in New York or D.C. Like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go back and deal with them saying I lied about the value of Mar-a-Lago or all the other stuff. I get it. I get why Trump would say I'm not going to sit here and get stuck on that. It's not good for the country. But we've reached this point now where you almost have to, because I don't want to hear the Democrats calling you a felon for the next 3 years, because they can sit here and they can call you a felon and call you a criminal and sit here and rest on that as an attack against us. You have to rip that out of their hands. That's what it's like. It's like a baby with a knife or something. You can't let no. You have to rip that knife out of their hands. I can't stand this. I cannot stand this. Do not, I pray, do not let the Democrats sit here and call you a felon and a criminal for the next 3 years. So, oh, but Owen, you give them a hard time about the Epstein stuff. That's a different issue. He needs to launch some sort of countersuit against all the frivolous lawfare, or you just go after the deep state criminals. Either way, you have to take this out of their bag. This whole, oh, we'll just call him a felon, we'll just call him a criminal, and then context and frame everything around that. I'm sick of it. It's illegitimate. It's a lie. So something has to be done about this stuff. And I get the whole thing is so rigged and it's so corrupt and you just hope the American people see through it. But to a certain level, you just have to say, okay, I'm taking this toy from you. I'm taking this toy from you. You've abused this toy and I'm taking it for you. Not for you. This now is about America. We cannot have these Democrats sitting here and lying that you're a felon or you're a criminal. It is a lie. And I'm sick and tired of them bringing it out as this counterpoint politically when it's totally illegitimate. So I would try to find somebody creative. I guess you're running out of people, and that's probably the problem, is that we're running out of resources here. But you got to expose what happened in these cases and how it was rigged against you. And really, that's probably a big part of draining the swamp. I would say big part of draining the swamp. If they can bring Trump in, and this is just the most egregious of them, if they can bring Trump in and say Mar-a-Lago is only worth $18 million, and so you lied on your financial records, I mean, folks, then what else can they lie about? They can lie and claim somebody is worth $5 trillion, just like they did with Alex Jones. And then they try to get a court ruling based off of false information, as he's got trillions. So the jury says, oh, well, gee, then I guess we have to ask for a trillion. Or the lawyers say, we want $5 trillion from Alex Jones, because he doesn't have the money. So, but see, that's what they do, is they lie and they put out a false pretext so that they can get a desired result. Because if you actually pour through the records, And by the way, they tried to do the same thing to me. And then they find out, oh, yeah, well, Schroyer doesn't have millions of dollars, so I guess he's not worth suing. Yeah. Yeah, you lied. But that's what they do. So that's what I'm saying. If they can sit here and say, Mar-a-Lago is only worth $19 million, so we're suing Trump, then they can just make up anything. Oh, Alex Jones is worth hundreds of billions, so we can demand $1 trillion for him. What? They just make crap up. And then they get it in court record, and they say, see, it's very real, even though it has no standing in reality. None. Oh, yeah. I mean, the E. Jean Carroll stuff, that might be, I don't even know if you do want to go back to that. But specifically, I would go back to the Mar-a-Lago stuff. I'd go back into the January 6th stuff. I'd go back to the election stuff, and I'd say, no. This is not about me. This is about a corrupt justice system that is so corrupt that they will tell you a piece of property that anybody, any honest person, any honest realtor would tell you is worth at least $200 million. At least. Maybe even $500 million. But at least $200 million. Guaranteed. And they can just put it in a court record and say, nope, only $20 million. I mean, a blatant lie, an egregious lie, and then the Democrats sit here and see, it's court record. See? And then they commit mortgage fraud and we can't even get them arrested. So that's why this stuff is so important and so frustrating that I have to sit here and continue to listen to Democrats spout these lies. Take the toy away from them. All right. Now here's the other big lawsuit in Texas. Texas judge greenlights multi-state lawsuit accusing BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street of using climate initiatives to manipulate energy markets. Texas judge advances suit against BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. Okay. Now this is big. And if you want to talk about draining the swamp, if you want to talk about fixing big issues in America, this is actually a huge opportunity to do it. Now, I'm not a fan of lawfare. I'm not a fan of lawfare to reach an ends. I'm not. I think it's dangerous for the country. I think it's been bad for the country. And I think we all see the atmosphere it creates politically. Okay. So I'm not about lawfare. However, we have to look at this case and we have to realize how important this could be. So, all right, you get them on the climate change BS and all the politicians and the governments, they're all in on it too. They lie about the climate. They lie about the weather. They lie about man-made climate change so that they can redirect resources to all these alternative energy companies that BlackRock, State Street, and everybody else, politicians that everybody else is invested in. So they find out, well, okay, oh, they're lying. It was part of a big plan. It was a redistribution of wealth, you know. So that's where they're going with this lawsuit. But, and this is where it gets like, you got to be careful. The corruption or the issues that we deal with when it comes to BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, It's well beyond this. This is like the tip of the iceberg. But imagine if a judge hits them with such a massive fine that they have to sell off all of their real estate. Do you know what that's going to do to the markets? Whoa. They all of a sudden might self-correct a little bit. We're talking about thousands, hundreds of thousands of houses on the market overnight. And depending on how the lawsuit goes, they might not even control the bottom line. You see what I'm getting at here? Two birds with one stone. So it's like, I just see an opportunity. The deep state is exposed. They're crony capitalists, monopoly men in the private sector. Now they're exposed. We have a window of opportunity to do a major course correction here, folks. And it's not just on the fake man-made climate change boondoggle. It's not just on the redistribution of wealth and the lies of climate change. if you get these companies exposed that have been part of the biggest problem in real estate becoming unaffordable, and you force them to sell off their real estate, what do you think happens to the price of the house? Goes down.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. He stated, quote, "Depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world," end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, "In earlier times, it was easier to control 1 million people than to physically kill 1 million people." He said, "But now it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than it is to control," end quote.
It was easier to control 1 million people, literally. It was easier to control 1 million people than physically to kill 1 million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are diehard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, "make every effort to depopulate the planet," close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that. You think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They said these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
Major major test for Golden Dome in 2028.
I don't like this at all. And it's all about AI, quantum computing, missiles, you know what it's all about. And they're using, you know, Russia. Of course, Russia launching a missile at us. That's going to be the test thing, is Russia doing it. I don't like any of it. I don't like any of it, because you build this stuff and then you feel the need to use it. But you know what it represents to me, unfortunately, what I see happening in front of me, I think what we're all starting to notice here, is that the Middle East is now taking over our politics. And it's true. The Middle East is now taking over our politics. So, of course, Middle East takes over your politics. I guess, what do you anticipate? Missiles. It's really sad to me. We have never needed a Golden Dome. We shouldn't need a Golden Dome. But now that we're Middle East politics, oh, all of a sudden we need a Golden Dome. What do you know? It's funny. What other nation state has to be protected by a dome of missile defense? It's funny. It's almost like we're becoming a nation. Like, we're not becoming our own nation. We're becoming another nation. Strange, isn't it? Can't quite put my finger on it. It's like, I don't know, maybe if they would withhold disaster aid if you're not loyal to your country, or, you know, maybe if a bunch of politicians went over to a foreign country, and I don't know, maybe if they had the foreign flag in their offices. I mean, if there were any signs, I'd bring them to you right now. I don't know. Just can't make it. Oh, what do you know? Israel starts to run our foreign policy. Now we're afraid of getting bombed too. Now we're afraid of getting hit with missiles too. And now we need an Iron Dome and a Golden Dome. It's sad. It's actually really sad. We shouldn't be going this direction. We should go in the opposite direction. We should be more confident in world peace. We should have less likelihood that we're going to get hit with anything. But nope. You start to take in Middle East politics, you start to get run by Middle East politics, well, guess what? You become the Middle East. So now what do we get? We get a Golden Dome and we get radical Islamic terror. Great. Fantastic. It's tragic. My heart breaks. My heart breaks for future Americans if we can't beat this. If we can't isolate ourselves from Middle East politics. If we can't become independent from Israeli influence, then it breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart what future generation of Americans may witness, may experience. And that might be the Golden Dome. Very sad. Very, very sad. Well, FBI Director Kash Patel, you know, he said it's time to shut down the FBI. And he was right. So what is he doing? He's expanding the FBI. The FBI took a historic step this week by opening a new law enforcement office in New Zealand. All right. That's how we shut down the FBI, is by expanding it. Really great stuff. Yeah. Let's see, Speaker Johnson spending multiple days in Israel, kissing the wall, telling you how great it is and how great Israel is and how we all need to be. Honestly, I watched this video. I don't have the time to play all the clips from Johnson, all the speeches and everything. And, yeah, of course, Randy Fine is over there, too, telling you that Israel's the best place on earth and why America needs to be loyal to Israel, and it's the most important thing. And Israel's enemies need to be addressed before America's issues. So, you know, we all know that. But you watch this video, and it's like a hostage video, man. Because, you know, here's the difference. When you're a political sellout, which most of our politicians are, when you're a political sellout, there's always going to be a level of discomfort internally. But it's like once you've kind of got through it a couple times, you start to develop a little bit of a comfort zone. And it's like, oh, you mean I can sell out to a foreign country and then come out here and spout foreign propaganda and nobody notices or says anything? It's like, oh, okay, cool. And so that's how it's been for so long. But now, guys, put the Johnson video up. Now it's like, oh, it's like a hostage negotiation.
It's like even with Trump now, they know how unpopular Israel is on both the left and the right. They know there's a total, I don't even know what you would call it. It's almost like rage. I mean, you could say it's hate, which is so sad. Again, I don't want to live in this state of, oh, hating Jews and hating Muslims, and that's all you see is, oh, Muslim propaganda, oh, Jewish propaganda, oh, hate, oh, war, all fights. What? I'm in America. I'm in a Christian nation. It's called America. Why the hell am I in Middle East political debates here? What the hell? Like, all my politicians, oh, they all love Israel so much. No, this looks like a hostage video because they can't just sell out to a foreign country and then just assume we don't notice. Everybody sees it now. It couldn't be more obvious. It's so obvious. It's so over the top that I just run through scenarios in my head. I have like a quantum, like my political brain is like quantum AI. And so it's just, you plug in a scenario and then it's just like, it's like all the different outcomes are generated. And then odds and stuff shifts with new information comes in. The Israel stuff is now so over the top. Maybe it was always that way. I guess the only thing I could fall back on and say maybe it was always that way, but now everybody's seeing it. I don't think so. If it was that way 8 years ago, I would have seen it. It has never been this bad. So now it's like the way my brain mechanics work, all the political stuff I consume, I look at it now and I'm like, this Israel stuff is so over the top. It's almost like intentional. It's either intentional to be like arrogant about it, like, yeah, Israel gets to run your country and there's nothing you can do about it. Or there's like the level of, oh, we're just combating anti-Semitism. So it's like playing the victim card. Or even, no, it's like be over the top to cause the anti-Semitism and then claim the victim card. Or it's be over the top to just show the force of dominance, show that they can do nothing, put them in fear. Or, I mean, just because this is how my brain works, it's like crunching all the odds. It's like, it almost is like Q. Save Israel for last is like the big Q thing. Save Israel. But it's like, it almost is Q level ridiculous now. It's like, yeah, if the plan was to expose Israel and their influence in our Congress, and exposes, you know, all the other issues that we have with Israel. It's like, if that was the deal to expose all of this by just opening it up, then it's like, that's what's been done. So now, I'm not a Q person, but it's just like, I just look at all the odds and I say, why would they be like this? Why would they be so in your face? Why would Mike Johnson, who knows? You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his body language. You can see how uncomfortable he is. This is a hostage video. He has to go stand in front of the Wailing Wall. He has to put on the small hat. He has to tell you how great it is. He has to kiss it. He has to rub it in your face. And he knows you're going to be disgusted by it. He knows everybody's going to look at him as a traitor to a foreign country when he does it. I don't know how else you can consume that. He knows that. So why do they do it? Well, the options are limited, but you take one look, folks. That is a hostage video. He is not comfortable. He does not want to be doing it. He knows everybody is going to look at him as a foreign agent and a traitor, and yet he has to do it anyway. And I'm not going to go too deep into this because I got other news to cover, but I mean, there's the geopolitical shift. And just what we're seeing in America when it comes to Israel is it's the most fast moving thing I've ever seen in my life. It is changing the very landscape of America's media and politics at light speed. It's like lapping me where I used to say, we're maybe 20 years away from this changing to 10 to 5 to like, it's like this next election cycle. It's now. That's how, but considering I keep coming up on the long end, it's like, you look at what happened today. Now we got a result in 12 hours. That's the level of political pressure on this issue, is they tried to tie disaster aid into support for Israel, and they lost before the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And then you have Ben Gavir, another at least 33. The number keeps going up. It was 27, now it's 33. People seeking aid were killed in Gaza. So right after the envoy with Huckabee and Witkoff leaves, by the way, their Witkoff envoy is heading to Russia now to try to get a deal done. That'll be good. Putin coming out with cooler heads than that. Making a statement over the weekend just saying, well, it's unfortunate Trump decided to say that. It's unnecessary. We need to just have diplomatic conversations. But yes, they do have their nuclear subs here, and we have nuclear subs, and we'd like peace. But we have our issues in Ukraine. Of course they do. You think they like Ukraine being a proxy state of the CIA? Give me a break. So now Ben Gavir, the envoy leaves, and then they start killing the aid seekers again. You know, Israel right back at it, shooting people. And then Ben Gavir says, well, this whole thing is a disaster now, so Israel just has to take it over. So, well, they just got to go. That was the plan the whole time. But nobody wants the Palestinians, folks, for the same reason that nobody wants to deal with the Middle East anymore. It's a cancer. It's cursed. It's a cursed part of the world with cursed people because they can never have peace. And we don't want any of it. And neither does Europe, and they're finding that out. But that's the plan. Israel will take it, and they're going to relocate all the Palestinians to Europe and to America. That's their plan. And then you'll deal with radical Islamic terror attacks. And then that will further the Israeli agenda of turning the planet against Muslims and Arabs. Until you embrace the hatred. Irish president urges UN to intervene in Gaza, citing destruction of an entire people. He's wanting an international military force. Yeah, don't be surprised when other world leaders call for something similar. France halts Gaza evacuations after anti-Semitic posts by Gazan student. Oh, really? The Gazans don't like the Jews? I mean, wow. That's a news flash. You mean the two groups of people that hate each other want you, a Christian? You mean the two groups of people that hate each other and have been warring with each other for thousands of years want white Christians to engage in their hatred and will do anything to convince you to engage in their hatred and their war for them? Have you figured it out? I'm stunned. The French say, we'll take the poor Palestinians. They bring them in, and what do you know? They're vile anti-Semites, and they hate anybody that supports Jews. Go figure. I mean, who saw that coming? I mean, it's not like Israel's blown up their entire land for 100 years. So they train them to hate Israel. Well, these people can't even have a life. So that's why we should have nothing to do with it, completely decouple from the region. But no, we're over there now. Mike Johnson is over there now. Here's a funny one from an anti-Trump journalist, columnist, David French. Oh, you got to love this stuff. David French, in July of 2014, Hamas bears the moral and legal responsibility for every dead Palestinian child. Oh, so they've been killing the kids over there for a while, huh? Okay. 2019, when Israel dares defend itself, the anti-Semitic double standards emerge. But the law of armed conflict is clear. If Hamas sows the wind, Israel can make it reap the whirlwind. 2019, yeah, so this has been going on for quite a time. 2023, the Hamas atrocities against civilians are pure evil. This is after the October 7th attack. Israel should not permit Hamas to exist in Gaza any longer. It is entirely justified in an overwhelming response. In fact, an overwhelming response is a moral and strategic necessity. Okay. Let's check in on David French today. Dear Israel, defeating Hamas does not require starving a single child. Ah.
It's so bad that David French, who has said, leave nothing off the table, Israel, nothing is outside the realm of legitimate action when it comes to dealing with Gaza. Now even he is writing columns saying that Israel's gone too far. Tommy Robinson arrested again. Lands back in London and they immediately arrested him. They're saying for an assault at St. Pancras Station on July 28th. And if I recall correctly, that's when he was getting attacked. And people were attacking him and his group, and so they basically just kind of stood up for themselves in a little scrap. I mean, he's a scrappy guy. He's not going to get shoved and pushed around. Unfortunately for him, he's probably going to have to just learn that you can't fight at all anymore. I get it. He's a scrappy guy. He's a prideful guy. But, yeah, somebody that this is why people always ask, like, well, why don't you do more street videos? Well, this is one of the reasons why, folks, because if I go out there and I get attacked, you understand you're not going to be hearing from Owen Schroyer much more. You understand? So it's like that's what they do. So somebody can come up to Tommy Robinson and run their mouth and try to attack him, and he defends himself, and now it's, oh, assault, you're going to jail. So you just have to make decisions, and sometimes it's not what the decisions you want to make, it's decisions you have to make. By the way, have you heard about this? Destroyed my life. Putin's alleged secret daughter resurfaces online, disowns past, and slams Kremlin. Putin's secret daughter speaks about her father for the first time and hints at her anger towards the Russian leader. Elizaveta Krivonikov. Let's go with the easier one. Luisa Rozova is her pseudonym. 22 years old. I think she's like a DJ in France, is my understanding. Something like that. Now she's coming out and talking about how she doesn't like Putin and all this other stuff. Does look like him, right? I mean, I think that's sometimes it's hard to deny your seed. I think that's I don't know how Putin's going to be denying that deal. That's your spitting image, bud. Now Putin's got a daughter, a disgraced daughter he's got to deal with here. Doesn't sound like she's open for negotiations either. Well, that's unfortunate. Maybe we should bring her here. We don't seem to have any interest in getting along with Russia either. So, oh my God. South Africa. Mass circumcision ceremony leaves 39 boys dead and dozens more mutilated. You know, I think it's time to just consider circumcision what it is. A disgusting, unnecessary tradition. It's time to just say what it is. It's an absolutely disgusting and unnecessary tradition. Who started that, by the way? Whoa! Look at this from the New York Times. Donor organs are too rare. We need a new definition of death. My God. So, of course, they run this headline after the whole organ donor story comes out and blows the lid off of how you don't want to be an organ donor because they basically will harvest your organs if they get the chance to. So we shut that down. And then the New York Times says, now hold on a second. If you're not going to let us harvest your organs, then we're going to have a new definition of death. So you'll be alive. You'll be alive on the operating table, your eyes open. They got like a breathing harness on you or something. Like, well, I think it's time to, it's a healthy liver. You know, we got a guy that needs a liver over here. He's willing to give us $1 million. And you're sitting there like, I want to live. We're going to go ahead and take this guy's liver. All right, move him into the operating room. You're like, what? It's a new definition of death, son. It's a new definition of death. We're harvesting your organs. Thank you for your donation. You shouldn't have come in here. But I was bleeding to death. Well, that's your problem.
and now your liver is ours. All right, let's see what the video's here. We got Mike Johnson at the wall. We got Ben Gavir saying it's time for Israel to take over Gaza. It was a plan all along. Oh, Mark Levin. Do we even want to get into Mark Levin? Oh, it's disgusting. Yeah, he's it's exactly what you would expect it to be. He wants everybody to denounce, basically he wants everyone to denounce Tucker Carlson. He wants everybody to denounce Nick Fuentes. He wants everybody to denounce Alex Jones. And if you don't, you're a radical anti-Semite. You don't belong in America. You don't belong in the Republican Party, yada, yada, yada. I will say he does look like he's on Ozempic. He has lost a lot of weight. You notice he hasn't even bothered to get a new shirt and jacket that fit, as you can see there. But he's definitely lost some weight. He's lost his mind, but that's a separate story. So he's just a mouthpiece of Israel at this point. It's really just disgusting. And then you've got huge anti-Israel protests happening in Australia. You've got huge anti-Israel protests happening in France. I mean, massive. And then, of course, you've got anti-Netanyahu protests happening in Israel. So this is only going one direction. And there seems to be only one country that unapologetically with no holds barred stands with Israel, and that's America. And what do you know? Now we need a golden dome. Great. Just great. Oh, boy, oh, boy. All right, we're going to have to hold off some of this stuff, like updates out of California dealing with Gavin Newsom. I'm hoping to get this gentleman on. Spectator kicked out of St. Louis City soccer game for wearing a MAGA hat. So more discrimination against Trump supporters, conservatives. Can't even go to a soccer game with a MAGA hat anymore. Looking to get him on the show. We've reached out. Trump slammed for turning Rose Garden into parking lot. Have you seen this? The Rose Garden is now literally cemented over. So all the trees, the hedges, the beautiful flowers, it's all gone, and it is now a cement block. Now, I get the feeling, I don't know, we'll see. I get the feeling that they're going to start staging events there. I don't know, maybe even the UFC deal. So I'm guessing that that's why they did this, is to stage a bunch of events and fundraiser events. But the Rose Garden gone. It is now just a cement block. It's kind of tragic. But I guess that's what you do when you're run by Israel. You just turn everything into a parking lot, right? Droonch. That was pretty good. That was a good one, guys. I deserve a laugh track for that. Representative Thomas Massie has introduced legislation to repeal the sweeping liability shield that exempts COVID-19 vaccine manufacturers from responsibility for serious injuries or death caused by their products. So that's a big one, but since it's Thomas Massie, you know everybody's going to try to push back against it, even though it's, why wouldn't we have that? Southern Arizona women's soccer coach dies suddenly from cardiac arrest. Ah, right, that again. An F-35 stealth fighter just had a major crash. We lost another F-35 to a crash. That's not good. All right, we're out of time. We're out of time. I'm going to go live on Rumble and X tonight. That'll do it for the InfoWars War Room. The War Room will take a 21-hour break, and then we'll be back here tomorrow. I'll be live on X and Rumble in about an hour or so, though. We'll see you then.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.